Production. Recorded live.
God bless you all today. I would like to welcome you all to another Talk Shoe segment of Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I'm your host, Apostle Lionel Blair, and today we have another interesting segment today. Today we're going to be talking about apostolic ministry. Amen. I will be taking you through the Word of God, and I'll also be taking you through revelation by the Word of God concerning apostolic ministry, because we have a lot of people now that's thrown around the title of apostle, and I know that this won't be the only segment that I do. I don't have enough time to really cover all of the different dimensions of apostolic ministry, but I promise you that I will cover every area of apostolic ministry. Amen. It may not be all in this show, but I will cover it. Amen. Because in this time and in this season, God is definitely raising up apostolic ministry. He's raising up apostolic vessels, and we must know what it is that an apostle does. What exactly is an apostle? What an apostle does? What fruit that an apostle is supposed to have? We must know these things. Even as believers who are not necessarily fivefold ministry gifts, amen, we must know what apostolic ministry is and what it ain't. Amen. We must know what apostolic ministry is and what it ain't, because, and yes, I said ain't. Because the thing about it is that us as believers, we're supposed to check that fruit too. Amen. Amen. Anybody that's calling themselves an apostle, call themselves trying to prophesy and minister to you, and their fruit is not that of an apostle, you don't have to accept that. Amen. And some people throw their apostolic title around, holler about, I'm an apostle, so you got to listen to me. The devil is a liar. Amen. You got a lot of people that try to throw that apostolic title around. It is not really a title. It is a ministry function. I'm going to say that again. Apostle is not a title. It is a ministry function. Amen. There's no such thing as an office of apostle. I don't get folks that say that. You know, I don't understand where they got that from, because when you think about an office, you're thinking about the first thing that comes to your mind is election. People are elected to offices. Amen. People are elected to offices. A deacon would be an office, amen, because you could just pick a deacon. Praise God. But you cannot pick an apostle. An apostle must be called and commissioned by God. Amen. I don't care how many times you get hands laid on you by an apostle. I don't care how many times you get apostles to rub all on your head. That's not going to make you an apostle if you're not graced to be that. Amen. And there's also a difference between being an apostle and being apostolic. People don't realize that too. Every believer, all of us as believers, are supposed to be apostolic. Amen. Just because you're apostolic don't mean that you're an apostle. And you have a lot of prophets that flow apostolically, but they make the mistake of allowing themselves to be elevated to a place that they're not graced to be. Amen. It used to be very popular to be a prophet, which it still is, but it's nothing like being an apostle now. Amen. Everybody is an apostle. Everybody, you know, called to the apostolic ministry, and, you know, everybody got all these different degrees, and now they got chief apostle, and you got prelate apostle, you got apostle elect, and you got all these types of stuff going on. Amen. And a half of them titles ain't even biblical. But anyway, that's a whole other segment. I'm going to get on that another time. Amen. So we're going to define the role of an apostle today. Amen. And I'm kind of excited about this, because this is something that needs to be addressed and known. Amen. Us as people of God, we cannot be ignorant concerning anything about the kingdom of God. Amen. And how many know that the kingdom of God has officials? Amen. Amen. How can you respect something that you don't know what it is? Amen. whenever a police officer put that uniform on and that badge, you respect that. You know why? Because you know what kind of authority a police officer has. Amen? You do. So there's a respect that comes with that. Why? Because you have knowledge of the authority that a police officer has. Amen? And that's not an authority to just be abused and misused, even though you do have some that do that. Amen. The job of a police officer is to what? Protect and serve. Isn't that what they say? That's what they say. Is to protect and serve. Amen. And the same thing with the kingdom of God. Us as fivefold ministry gifts, we are to guard and protect God's people and to serve them, not having them serving us all the time. I am yet to see an apostle to get down and wash feet other than Jesus. Jesus is the only apostle I've seen wash his disciples' feet. Amen. But these apostles nowadays, they have no humility. I out of all the apostles I've met, very few, I can barely count them on a hand, on one hand, very few I've met are humble. Amen. Very few of them are humble. I just got to be truthful. Amen. They have no character. They're just a smug and arrogant. Can't nobody tell them nothing. And, oh, Lord, don't tell them something that they don't want to hear. They're going to shut you down altogether and tell you that God ain't tell you that. Because God would have spoken to them first, which has no biblical support. Amen. I got on that when I talked about prophetic ministry. So let's find out what an apostle is. Amen. If you, first of all, if you look up that word apostle, it is the Greek word apostolos. And I'm not going to get too much in Greek, Hebrew, and all that stuff. Amen. It just gives you a better understanding of what's already there. So we're not going to get too deep into that. Praise God. That word apostolos means sent one, right? And I'm pretty sure you all heard this 1,000 times, but there's some folks that haven't. So this is for the ones that haven't. And for the ones that have heard it, amen, you might have got a half-truth on it. It means sent one, not just sent one. It means messenger. It means delegate. It means one with power of attorney. For real, it does mean that. It means one with power of attorney to act in place of another. Amen. So when you're given power of attorney, that means that you're conducting business on someone else's behalf. Amen. That means you get to sign their name. In a lot of instances, you got to sign your name too. Praise God. You're acting in the place of a person. Amen. You're almost acting as that person. You're not that person, but you're active. But that person who gave you the power of attorney gave you their authority to conduct business on their behalf, as if they was doing it themselves. Amen. With great authority comes great responsibility too. Amen. So an apostle, and some folks may not agree with this, but it's true. You saw it all through the Bible. You've seen it demonstrated all through the Bible. You've seen all the authority that God gave them apostles. I'm talking about the real ones now, not the jackleg ones we got now. But I'm talking about the real ones. Amen. An apostle is given power of attorney. Amen. That means we conduct business on behalf of, on God's behalf concerning His kingdom. All right. We're like governors in His kingdom. I'll say that again. Apostles are governors in the kingdom of God. Amen. The Lord has given us oversight over the kingdom of God, and we are to conduct business and govern things like if God was governing it. That means that God got rules and things that are set for His kingdom. And us as governors, spiritual governors, amen, we are supposed to enforce the laws of God, remind the people of the laws of God, make sure it's being done the way God said it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. In a kingdom, the king sets the rules. See, in order to understand apostolic ministry, you first must understand the kingdom. If you don't understand the kingdom, you can't be an apostle. Not a real one anyway. Amen. In order to understand apostolic ministry, you first must understand the kingdom. 3.5 years before the 12 disciples of Jesus, before they was released as apostles in the fullness of their ministry, before they was commissioned, amen, as apostles, 3.5 years they was traveling with Jesus, learning about what? The kingdom. All the parables Jesus taught, the kingdom of God is like unto this, the kingdom of God is like unto that. He spoke in parables. He told those disciples, he said, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Amen. So understand that before you can be an apostle, prophet, whatever in ministry, amen, you must first have an accurate understanding of the kingdom of God. If you don't understand the kingdom, you can't effectively perform your ministry function the way God ordained it to be. Amen. I hope I'm helping somebody. Because you got a lot of these apostles out here now that just teach, amen. They just teach, and that's a good thing. We need teaching, but we need kingdom revelation. We don't need to know about Daniel and the lion's den with no revelation, amen. We all learned that in Sunday school. Can I say that again? We all know about, praise God, Moses and the Exodus out of Egypt. We learned all that. We already know about the plagues. But what's the meat behind that? What's the revelation behind that? Huh? See, apostles walk in a revelatory type of anointing. And I know I'm getting off a little bit. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, actually. I'm not getting off. I'm getting ahead of myself. Amen. But I said all that to say this. Apostles walk in revelation, especially concerning the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And I'm going to show that to you in scripture too. Amen. No accurate understanding of the kingdom, you cannot walk in the anointing that God has called you to. I've never seen a generation of such powerless apostles. How are you going to be an apostle and you don't cast out devils? That was the first thing Jesus told them. When Jesus commissioned them, heal the sick, cast out devils, that's the first thing. I've seen apostles, all they do is teach, and they teach little Bible stories and little scriptures, and they make little cute sermons out of it. I'm talking about apostles now. They prophesy here and there. Don't prophesy that much, they just prophesy here and there. Amen. That should not be. That's not the real apostolic ministry. So an apostle is a sent one, amen, one who has been commissioned by God. Hallelujah. Now check this out. I'm about to give y'all some good stuff here. Hebrews said that Jesus is the apostle and the high priest of our profession, right? He's the apostle and high priest. So the Bible even calls Jesus an apostle. It don't call him chief apostle, don't call him master apostle, king apostle, queen apostle, calls him apostle. Amen. If anybody in the Bible was a chief apostle, it would have been Jesus, and the Bible don't even call him chief apostle. So all these men and women of God calling themselves chief apostle, no such thing. Sorry. Amen. Let me burst that bubble real quick, because anytime you want to be chief all the time, you want to be the head of everything, then guess what? That is a spirit of pride creeping in, and pride comes before destruction. I never seen so many chiefs in my life. I thought Jesus was the chief, huh? If anybody deserves to be chief, it's Jesus. So you just the head of all the apostles, huh? Paul, anybody that had a right to call themselves a chief apostle, it would have been Jesus, Peter, or Paul, and none of them called themselves chief apostle. Huh? I know y'all chief apostles that's listening kind of listening to me like, what is he talking about? You know what I'm talking about. I love you, though. Amen. So, Jesus as the apostle and the high priest who said that he was the one who would build his house, the house he built naturally would be an apostolic house, being that he was an apostle. Right? Jesus being the high priest, and everything in the Bible points to Jesus, right? Even Old Testament types, amen, and signs and symbols pointed to Jesus. Everything, Jesus is a central theme of the Bible, Jesus and his kingdom, right? All right, so the thing about it is that the Bible really is an apostolic book, if you want to be honest. It is an apostolic book. It is a kingdom book. It is a revelatory and a prophetic book. Amen. Hallelujah. I love it. My Jesus, thank you, Father. So the house that he built was an apostolic house. The church is supposed to be apostolic because its building is apostolic. Amen. And I'm going to just turn to this scripture real quick. I'm going to go to Ephesians 2. And these scriptures are probably scriptures that you have heard before. Amen. Scriptures you probably done heard before. But I'm going to put them in your ear again. Amen. If somebody writing stuff down, you can write down the scripture. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. And it says, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. He's talking about the Gentiles. And earlier in the scriptures talks about how there's no difference no longer between Jews and Gentiles, but Christ came and broke down the wall of separation between Jews and Gentiles. Amen. And both of them are together as one new man, and this is what makes up the household of God. This is the New Testament church. Jews and Gentiles cover all nations. Amen. So it does not go to one group of people of a certain ethnic background no more, but it's available. This grace and the kingdom of God is made available to all who believe. Amen. So that exposes the lie of different religions and sects and sets and different beliefs and religions, like Hebrew Israelites. That's a fast growing religion now. You know, they're all about the law, and you know everything about the law, and you know how the blacks are the chosen people and that kind of stuff. And you know, even if the blacks are the chosen people or not, amen. The thing about that is that it don't matter no more. Jesus came and broke down that wall of division, so now we're one new man. Amen. So therefore, you know, that totally, this scripture right here totally erases that doctrine. And if you're involved in that doctrine, I would advise you to seek some deliverance and get out. Amen, because it's not true. Amen. And having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Look at that word, chief again. Amen. He's the chief cornerstone. He didn't say he was the chief apostle, but he's the chief cornerstone. Amen. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord. Amen. And we look at Ephesians 3. Amen. Verses 1 through 11. Amen. I'm going to come back to that. So we see that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's not necessarily the person of the apostle and the prophet that is built on, but it's built on the revelation of Christ given to the apostles and the prophets. Amen. Matter of fact, to prove that, I'm going to read Ephesians 3. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if you indeed have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, amen, know that by revelation he, talking about Jesus, made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which ye have read, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Amen. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of man, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." Amen. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, his grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Amen. The unsearchable riches of Christ. "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus." Amen. "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Amen. So the church was built upon the apostles and the prophets and the revelation of Jesus Christ that they received, right? Is that the person of the apostle and the prophet, but the revelation of Christ given to the apostles and the prophets. Amen. I need y'all to understand that. Because, see, understand this, that this scripture proves right here that apostles and prophets walk in a revelatory gifting. Amen. And I'm going to get into the relationship between the apostle and the prophet on another segment. Amen. But I'm getting into the apostolic ministry right now. See, apostles walk in revelation. Amen. Understand this, that there's always more to learn about God. Amen. There's always mysteries in the Word of God to be revealed to give us a better understanding of the kingdom of God. Amen. And understand this. That scripture talks about unsearchable riches, unsearchable. Amen. That means that no matter how much you dig and look for it, you won't be able to find it. Amen. This kind of revelation has to be revealed. Amen. It has to be revealed by Christ to the apostolic or the prophetic vessel. Amen. And I'm not glorifying the prophetic ministry or the apostolic ministry above any other ministry. I'm not doing that. Praise God. I will even take a segment to teach on the ministry of the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. I will teach on the whole fivefold ministry. Amen. All are important. Don't get me wrong. All are important, but each ministry gift is grace to do a specific thing. All right? And the Lord, in his wisdom, chose to give the revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom of God to the apostles and the prophets. Amen. He chose that. I didn't choose it. You didn't choose it. He chose it. Amen. So an apostle must walk in revelation. If there's no revelation, if your spirit is not constantly being fed, if your spirit man is not constantly being challenged to grow deeper in God, then that ain't the apostolic anointing flowing. Amen. When the apostolic anointing flows, revelation flows too. Amen. Every apostle should walk in revelation. Hallelujah. Every apostle should flow in revelation. So once again, apostle means sent one, right? And they're sent to do business on behalf of another. And understand this, when you're being sent, you're functioning as an ambassador on the behalf of the one who sent you with the authority of the sender. Amen? With the authority of the sender. Apostles can't do their own thing. They act in Christ's stead. Can I say that again? Apostles act in Christ's stead. So understand that God is going to give that apostle everything that they need, amen, to govern his kingdom and to teach the people of God. Amen. Apostles build people for kingdom work. Amen. We're not here to nurse your wounds. That's what the pastor is for. Amen. Pastors, nurse your wounds. Apostles, equipped and get ready. I'm going to jump on that in a little bit. Amen. I pray that I'm helping somebody out. Amen. So back to the revelation thing, because I feel led to go back there again. So check this out. According to Scripture, revelation can only come through apostles and prophets. According to the Scripture right here, it said all the revelation and the mysteries was given to the apostle and the prophet. Amen. Even though evangelists, pastors, and teachers are leaders in the church, and their ministry is very important. They take a lot of a weight off of the rest of the other leadership. Amen. Teachers are important. Pastors are very important in apostolic ministry. My God, I can't even begin to fully explain how important a pastor is to an apostle. Amen. I'm telling you. So check this out. So even though evangelists, pastors, and teachers are leaders in the church, God will not give them revelation to build. Oh, let me say that again. God will not give them revelation to build. A pastor is not supposed to be the one who found the church. Can I say that again? Every church that was founded in the Bible was founded by apostles or prophets, mostly apostles. But you have the church in Antioch that was led by prophets and teachers. But they was under the umbrella of the Jerusalem church, because the church in Antioch started when the church in Jerusalem was being persecuted and the Christians had to scatter abroad. Amen. And that's how the Antioch church got started, because through the persecution, they began to spread out and establish churches in different regions and different places through the persecution. So that was one of the ways that the church of Antioch got started. In Acts 13, verse 1, it begins to talk about how the church of Antioch was ran by prophets and teachers. But they sent Barnabas from the Jerusalem church, amen, and that was governed by the apostles. That region was governed by the apostles, amen. So Barnabas was sent. Amen. He was sent from the Jerusalem church to go to Antioch. But on his way there, he went and he got Paul. Amen. And Paul and Barnabas was amongst the company of prophets and teachers. And then God spoke to them during fasting and prayer. And they set aside, the Holy Ghost said, set aside Paul and Barnabas for the work that they were called to. And then that moment they was released as apostles. Why? Because they was commissioned, they were sent. Amen? So the founding of a ministry, senior leadership of a ministry, belongs to apostolic and prophetic ministry. However, all other ministry gifts need to be in place in order for everything to run and function the way that it's supposed to function. We're so used to this traditional setting that has been passed down to us from years to years and years and years, all the way up into this generation. We're so used to the pastor being the senior leader over a church, when that's not even scripture. That's not even biblical. Amen? You have a lot of pastors that that really have apostolic anointings upon their lives, but they're not fully walking in it. And then you have pastors, amen, who have a burden for people, but they're not supposed to start no church. Just be honest. Some people are just operating outside of their grace. Amen. And then you have prophets who are submitted to pastors who don't even flow in the prophetic period. A pastor cannot cover a prophet. That's unscriptural. That's not biblical. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Some people may say that don't matter. Yes, it does. Let me tell you why it matters. Because God has a certain order in which he honors. And he establishes it a certain way for a specific reason. Anything outside of that order, it causes chaos. Why? Because God, in his wisdom, set it up that way. So when you go against what God has set up, then what you think you're going to get? That's why our churches are not effective now. Amen? There's no prophetic. There's no apostolic. People are not evangelizing. You just got the pastor and the ministers. Pastor and the minister. And then you wonder why your church ain't growing. You wonder why folks still sick in the church. You still wonder why folks ain't devils are not being cast out on a regular. You got demonized folks in your church. Amen. Because the apostolic anointing and the prophetic anointing brings all of this. I'm talking about to the capacity that it's supposed to be. Amen. So understand that only apostles and prophets have revelation to build. Amen. Now, the ministry gifts must receive their revelation to build from apostolic and prophetic leadership. That's the way God made it. Amen. That's the way that he made it. Turn to Matthew 16 real quick. Matthew 16, I'm going to start at verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Amen. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said in answer to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen. A lot of people say, and a lot of Roman Catholics say, that the church was built on Peter. Amen. That was not true. Amen. The church was not built on Peter, but it was built on that particular revelation Peter had of Jesus being the Christ. Amen. That rock symbolizes foundation. See, the thing about it is that we're so busy trying to build a building. The building does not make the church. Can I say that again? The building itself does not make the church. It's just a building. But it is the people that make up the church. Amen. You look up that word church, it means called out ones. It's referring to people. It's not referring to a building. Amen. You can assemble anywhere and have church. People get so caught up in buildings. And I really feel in my spirit, God is not pleased with that. We put so much emphasis on a building. Don't you know the majority of Jesus' ministry as an apostle was outside of a building? The apostle Paul, outside of a building? Amen. We get so local-minded. Amen. And that's why we're not effective now, because we're so stationary. And that's due to the pastoral only leadership. Amen. Nothing wrong with pastoral ministry. I honor pastors. Pastors are very vital. Amen. But if that is the dominant anointing in the church, the people are going to become stationary. Amen. Because pastoral ministry is stationary. They are for the household of God. They're for the people of God. And they deal with the people personally. Amen. But if you look at the ministry of the apostles, amen, them apostles went out. They was not limited to the four walls of a building. Amen. They broke ground everywhere that they went. That's the problem. We don't have enough apostles out there doing the work, breaking ground in different regions and territories so that the kingdom of God can be advanced in that area. There's no reason why you got five apostles in one city, ain't nothing going on, nothing changing, nobody being healed, nobody being delivered, nobody being set free, nothing. You an apostle, you in a particular region, the first thing you need to be asking God is, okay, Lord, you sent me to this region, what is it that I'm being sent here for? And then once he revealed it to you, you get up and do it. Well, I'm waiting on resources, I'm waiting on finances. No, you get out there and do the work. Amen. All these stationary apostles. And understand this, you do have some apostles. Praise God, not all apostles are the same. Amen. You got apostles that go out more than others, but all apostles should not be limited to the four walls of a church setting. Amen. You have apostles like Peter, amen, that spent most of his time in Jerusalem. Amen. But you do see where Peter traveled to. Amen. And he broke ground in other regions and advance the kingdom of God in that region. Amen? So we can't be apostles and be stationary. Amen. Hallelujah. My Lord Jesus. So the church was built upon the revelation of Christ. And understand that being that the church is the people, amen, can I say that again? The church is the people. So, the foundation of everyone's personal walk with God should be that of Jesus Christ. And as apostles, it's our job to make sure, amen, that Christ, not us, Christ, my Lord Jesus, has first and top priority in the lives of God's people. Because being that we have oversight, if it ain't done, God's going to hold us accountable. Amen. I say that again, because you got some leaders that teach the people of God to be faithful to the local church and understand this, that, you know, that's fine too. Amen. But it comes a point in the lives of every believer, amen, where all of us should be imitating the works of Christ. Christ wasn't a stationary guy. Amen. He was not a stationary guy. But he went out and he demonstrated the power of God. I'm going to tell you something. The heart of a real apostle is to see the people of God going forth and demonstrating the kingdom of God in the areas of society that they are called to. Amen. I told God, and I tell everybody too, I don't want a bunch of folks sitting in a building looking in my face every Sunday. Amen. Once you've been imparted, equipped, it's time for you to go out and do what God called you to do. Amen. Apostles sinned, and that same apostolic anointing for sending and advancing the kingdom, praise God, should go off on the people, and they should go about establishing and sending too. Amen. And breaking ground. Paul told the Corinthian church that you are partakers of my grace. What was he saying? He says that the same anointing that God has graced me with, amen, is the same anointing that you're being graced with as well. Amen. Christ should be the foundation of the life of every believer. Amen. Christ, not your leader. You are not to be more faithful to your leader than you are to God. Say that again, because most leaders ain't going to tell you that. You are not to be more faithful to your leader than you are to God. Apostles, we push God's people into their destiny. Amen. We push them. We make sure that they are equipped and trained, and we push them. We activate their giftings. We impart into their lives. And we send them out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope and pray I'm helping somebody. Amen. Some folks getting mad, but that's all right. So all revelation, my God, must have a context. We must accept the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, okay? The Old Testament was written by prophets. New Testament was written by apostles. The whole Bible came by God giving revelation to apostles and prophets. That's where we started from. That's why the Bible says that apostles and prophets are the foundation of the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is good. And I heard somebody say this one time, too, that all revelation must be linked to or come out of an understanding of what the apostles and prophets wrote. Amen. All revelation is influenced by apostles and prophets. So understand that every apostle and every prophet, once again, must have a revelatory anointing where they're able not only to teach basic principles of the Word of God, but they're supposed to be able to revelate and demonstrate kingdom principles as well. Amen. Ain't trying to talk over y'all head, talk too deep to y'all. Amen. One thing too, apostles bring clarity to Scripture too. Let me just say that. Our job is not to write a new Bible. We got so much new revelation now, it's a shame. You know, we have all this new stuff going on, ain't no fruit behind it, nothing. Amen. And understand this, that real revelation coming from an apostolic or a prophetic vessel will cause the people of God to be changed and challenged. Amen. I'll say that again. Revelation, amen, from a true apostle or prophet will cause you to be changed and challenged. It will challenge your spirit to seek God more, amen, to do more than what you're doing, and it will expand, amen, your capacity. Amen. Change and challenge. So we have a lot of people that's teaching, but nobody's being changed and nobody's being challenged. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord Jesus. God has ordained apostles and prophets in the church because he wants to give revelation to the church. Amen. He wants to give revelation to the church. God has graced every apostle and prophet to be able to uncover the mysteries of Christ. Remember I was talking about unsearchable riches earlier? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 10 real quick. We're just going to get into, and I'm going to take you a lot through the Bible real quick. I'm going to take you a lot through the Bible. So y'all just get ready for that. Amen. And this will be also recorded as well. So you can go back and listen to it in case you missed something. Amen. I know I don't teach like everybody else, praise God, but I teach like myself. Amen. I teach according to the ability God gave me. So some folks get mad with how I teach. Amen. You can see it all in the chat room, but God bless them too. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go into some scripture here. We're going to talk about biblical fruit of apostolic ministry. Amen. First of all, let's start with Matthew 10. All right. We're going to get into apostles and churches and all that stuff later. Amen. Let's get into this real quick. Matthew 10. I'm going to start at verse 1. And it says, "And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of diseases and all kinds of sickness." Amen. And the names of the 12 apostles, hold on, these apostles now, right? What did he tell them to do? First he told them to cast, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of diseases and sicknesses. So that tells me that every apostle should have a healing and deliverance ministry. I'm talking about them apostles in the Bible cast out demons on the regular. They healed the sick on the regular. Amen? So if you're an apostle and don't have no healing and deliverance ministry, something going on with that. Amen. So he named them. Praise God. And if you go down, once again, let's look at verse 7. Let's look at verse 7 real quick. And it says, "As to you, go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So apostles, our duty is to what? Preach the kingdom. Amen. Our duty is to preach the kingdom. Let me say that again. We are supposed to preach the kingdom. That should be our primary message, is the kingdom. Amen. Daniel Lyons Den is good, but tie that in with the kingdom. Everything that we preach and teach should come out of our personal revelation of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. I'm going to say that again because I kind of like that. Everything that we preach and teach should come out of our revelation of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he told them to preach the kingdom of God. Amen. And it says to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. So healing and deliverance ministry comes with the preaching of the kingdom. It does. Amen. So, let's get into a whole lot of scriptures. Amen. What do apostles do? First of all, apostles suffer, for one thing. Amen. This is not a glamorous ministry. Oh, let me say that again. Apostolic ministry is not a glamorous ministry. Everybody try to make it glamorous, but it ain't glamorous. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 2 and 10. Go to 2 Timothy 2 and 10. And let's see what the Apostle Paul had to say about apostolic ministry. Amen. 2 Timothy 2 and 10. It says, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." He didn't say within itself, but in Christ Jesus. He says, "I endure all things for the elect's sake." This is Apostle Paul talking here. He said, "I." Notice scriptures when the apostles' writings, when he talk about me, No, not me. When they talk about we, I, and our a lot, most of the time they're talking about the apostles, that particular apostle, and their fellow apostles that accompany them. Say that again. Most of the time when you see I or we or our, most of the time it's talking about the apostles. Amen? Talk about the writers and the ones that accompanied him, which were most of the time apostles and prophets. Amen. So, he says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Let me go to 2 Corinthians. You still want to be an apostle, huh? 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10. I'm gonna read 2 Corinthians 6. I'm going to start at verse 4. And it says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God and much patience. Remember, you saw that word we again, right? He says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God and much patience in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in turmoils, in labors, in sleepiness, in fasting. Amen. I don't know why Holy Ghost got me stuck there. Fasting. Amen. Apostles were supposed to fast. Turn down our plates, down our flesh. Amen. Holy Ghost had me stop there. That must be for somebody. It says, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, that means patience. Well, we all got to have some patience. Amen. By kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Amen. By honor and dishonor. As an apostle, everybody's not going to honor you, so please stop trying to get everybody to recognize your apostleship and to honor you. Because as an apostle, you're going to experience some dishonor. Amen. You're going to have folks that's going to question your apostleship. You're going to have folks that's going to challenge the apostleship that God gave you. Amen. And you're going to have to stand firm and know that God called you. Oh, I'm talking to somebody right now. Amen. Anybody that challenges your calling, you know God gave you that. Whether you're a man, woman, whoever, then guess what? That goes to show that is something that you're doing right. Amen. Because everybody, I'm going to tell you something, the people love, most of the time, people love false prophets and false apostles. The Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. Because the same thing that they did to the false prophets of old, isn't that what the Bible says? May not be quoting it word for word, but that's the context in which it says. That's the right context. Amen. So, don't expect everybody to honor you. The Apostle Paul got dishonored on so many levels, even by other apostles that was out there doing the work too. Amen. Amen. And if you look in the chat room, you can see some dishonor there, but God bless them. Yes, I said it. But anyway, so you're going to experience, Jesus experienced dishonor. He was dishonored by his own family. So if Jesus was dishonored, come on now, what you think you're going to get? Jesus said we're going to do greater works. Amen. Greater works. I believe with greater works come greater persecution too. Greater dishonor. Amen. So don't worry about rather somebody recognizing your apostleship or acknowledging your apostleship or not. Don't worry about that. You worry about what God say. Amen. And also to the young, I just feel this in my spirit too. To the young that's in ministry. I'm gonna tell you something. Timothy is a primary example of a young apostle. Amen. I'm about to mess up some folks' theology right now. Timothy is an example of a young apostle, all right? And the apostle Paul had to give him wisdom. If you read through 1 and 2 Timothy, you will see that Timothy had a challenge, amen. He was challenged by older people that he was over, amen. He was over older people, and the apostle Paul had to give him wisdom on how to handle older people. That's why he said, rebuke not an elder sharply, amen, but entreat him as a father, amen. And the same thing with the older ladies as mothers. That word elder in that scripture means older person. So he's saying, look, don't mishandle them now. Amen. At the same time, they can't come up against the authority of God upon your life, but you can't mishandle them either. Amen. So Timothy had to face the challenges of doing apostolic work in ministry. He was being mentored by Paul, but Paul wasn't there. Amen. And the apostle Paul had to remind him of the things that he told him. So understand this. To the young that's in ministry, you know that God has called you. I'm going to tell you something now. There are a lot of young apostles out here, but there's some that are young that's calling themselves apostles and they're premature. I'm telling you, there's some suffering that comes along with this thing here. Amen. There's some suffering that come along with this thing here. It's a lot of sacrifice. Amen? But if you're young and you're walking in the things of God, know God calls you, walking into it, I encourage you. I encourage you to stand on every word. And whoever the Lord has placed in your life to speak into your life and to even mentor you or to get you to help you get to a place of maturity in the spirit, all of us should have that person in our lives. Amen. Don't mean they control and dominate the ministry. Amen. Because the Apostle Paul wasn't standing over Timothy telling him how to run everything, standing over his breath, breathing down his neck. But he did advise him and instruct him on some things and gave him wisdom to be a good overseer and a good apostle to the people of God. Amen. Despite the opposition that he received. Amen, and I'm gonna get on that too. I'm gonna get on that segment. I'm gonna do a segment specifically for the young that's in ministry, because that's very important. Because a lot of young people God is raising up now, in the early 20s and even in the late teens. Amen. So it's very important that this generation really grasp what God is trying to do. But amen, I just want to take a moment to encourage the young that's in ministry to keep going. Amen. I would advise you to study Timothy, read it, you know, read it in the context in which I just spoke it, and I'm telling you, it's going to open your eyes and it's going to give you some encouragement. Amen. I remember one day the Lord really had to remind me of Timothy, you know, because of my age, I get a lot of opposition. Amen. But the Lord began to take me through Timothy and he began to show me the things that Timothy experienced and what Timothy had to go through as being young. In age, but in the Lord, praise God. So I encourage all of y'all to read that too. Amen. But don't expect to be honored. Back to the honor and dishonor. Amen. Back to the honor and dishonor. Don't expect to be honored here. You will never be honored in your own hometown. It says, by evil report, by good report, by deceivers and yet true. I'm going to tell you something about evil report, good report. You have some folks that's going to lie on you. You know how many times I'd have been lied on, and I'm pretty sure that all other apostles on this line or all these other ministry gifts that's on the line can relate. You've been lied on at least once or twice while you was in ministry. You've been lied on. Something you said was taken out of context. Something you said that was misunderstood or, you know, you've been lied on. Amen. You've been lied on. Yes, you have. And if you haven't been lied on or haven't been persecuted in no other way, I question your apostleship. I'm going to be honest. Because apostles draw persecution. They do. because of their kingdom message and their stand. They draw persecution. That's all throughout the Bible. Apostles draw persecution. We don't go looking for it. We draw it. Amen. All you got to do is go into the one of these old stomp down religious churches and preach a kingdom message and see how much persecution you're going to get. And they could be the ones that invited you. Huh? Amen. My Lord. Sad, but it's true. It says, as unknown and yet well known. I'll tell you something. Them apostles gained popularity, good and bad. It says known but unknown. Amen. Popularity. Good popularity, bad popularity. Amen. And as an apostle, you're going to get that. As an apostle, you're going to experience all kind of persecution. You're going to experience all kind of stuff, I'm telling you. Amen. But you know what? You keep going. You keep pushing. You keep preaching. Amen. You keep preaching the kingdom. But tell you something, the kingdom of God is for those who are hungry. Let me say it again. The kingdom of God is for those who are hungry. For those who are hungry. Why do you think Jesus spoke in parables so much? Why do you think the little religious folks couldn't get it? Why do you think the Pharisees couldn't get it? Why? Because they haven't changed their mindset from the old system. And that's the problem. We got a bunch of folks now that won't even change their mindset from the old system. They still stuck on false religion and law by works. Amen? They still stuck on that. That's why they can't receive the revelation of the kingdom now. The Pharisees thought they understood the kingdom. And you have those now that think that they understand the kingdom, but they don't. Amen? You have apostles. You even have apostles now, amen, that think that they understand the kingdom, but they don't, because it's so multidimensional. Amen. And understand this, that when you operate in the kingdom, it will take you completely out of your comfort zone. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, too. The Pharisees did not want to face the fact that they was wrong. Amen. They don't want to face the fact that they was wrong. They were so caught up in their doctrine and in their way of thinking that they could not see nothing beyond that. They was expecting a literal physical kingdom when Christ came in a whole different matter in a whole different way and brought a spiritual kingdom. That's why he said that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. It don't come with eyesight. It don't come with what you can see. Come on now, but he said the kingdom of God is in you, and certain translations say that the kingdom of God is in you and around you. The kingdom of God deals with the dominion of God, an area in which God has dominion in. Amen? That's all the kingdom is. And there's certain there's certain characteristics of God's rule. Amen. Just like there's certain characteristics of Satan's rule. Amen. And regions in which Satan rules, amen, is very crime-ridden, disease, death. Come on now. Demonic possession. All these things rule and reign in whatever area or region that Satan is ruling over. But when the kingdom of God comes, that's why Jesus said, when I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Why? Because you're breaking up his rule. You're breaking up the rule of Satan and establishing the rule of God, because the rule of God brings about liberty. It brings about freedom. It brings about healing. Amen? So we are called to advance God's kingdom in the earth. We're called to bring about God's dominion in the region in which we're called to. Every time a person gets healed, come on now, that means that the enemy has lost ground. Every time you cast out a demon, that means that the enemy has lost ground. His rulership over that person's life is being stripped from him. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. It ain't about your house, your car. It's about being set free and walking in the things of God and affecting a nation. If all of us can get that, and stop being so local-minded, worried about trying to build our membership of a church when we need to be going out there preaching the gospel to the lost, laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, giving to the poor, amen? All that stuff we need to be out here doing. Instead of worried about what we're going to get next, treating God like a Santa Claus or something, like he's just supposed to give us stuff. Don't get me wrong, he will give us stuff. Praise God. And I believe that he wants us to have stuff. But the Bible specifically says that above all things, I wish you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. God is more concerned about your soul first. He'll give you the house and the car after you get delivered and healed. Amen. Get delivered. Get all that mess out your mind. Get all that worldly music out your life. Amen. Get all that stuff out your life. Amen. Didn't mean to go there, but yeah, it was Holy Ghost. I thank God for it. Amen. My Lord. Unknown and yet known, as dying, and behold, we live. Why? Because we're constantly dying to ourselves. I'm still reading from the scripture, y'all. We're constantly dying daily. Amen. Apostolic ministry is, it takes a level of suffering in order to get the people of God free. But you got these apostles now, they don't want to sacrifice and suffer no more. Amen. That's not of God. Amen. We may be alive, we may appear alive to you, but we dead to ourselves. Amen. And behold, we live. As chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Amen. So, point blank, we suffer. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians 13 real quick. 2 Corinthians 13. Oh, yeah, I'm going to show you through the scripture. Some folks think I don't be saying too much of nothing. Everything I say is going to be going to come with the scripture. Yeah? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 9. It says, for we, see that word we again, right? For we are glad when we are weak, you are strong. And this also we pray that you may be made complete. So apostles, we become weakened in some areas, not in our spiritual life, praise God, but we become weakened in areas so that the people of God may be strong. That means that some things we have to go without so that the people of God may have. Amen. I'm talking about real apostles. I ain't talking about the ones that just have the title behind their name but not performing the function or nor going through the sufferings. Amen. Well, get me wrong. We have times where we rejoice. Praise God. I'm pretty sure, you know, all those times that the apostles had in the Bible, I'm pretty sure that they weren't bad. But best believe they went through for the people. They went through. I'm talking about in intercession and everything else. I remember the apostle Paul said in a certain scripture, and I forgot where it was at, but I'm going to find it. He says that through the infirmity of the flesh, I preach the gospel unto you. So that means that while he's preaching the gospel, and a lot of apostles that are really in tune with God and in tune in the spirit, in the spirit, understand what I'm talking about. It's a suffering when you preach it. Mm-hmm. Because you have certain things in the spirit coming up against you while you're preaching, especially if you're preaching the kingdom message. Oh, you got to push that thing out. A kingdom message? Oh yes, indeed. You have to push that out. I'm talking about if you really preaching a kingdom message. It's a suffering. Amen. But the fruit that will be produced afterwards, my God. I'm talking about folks being delivered, healed, everything else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So So we go through things that the people of God may have. Amen. And I'm gonna go to Galatians 4:13. I'm just giving you scripture to back up what I'm saying. And I think this is scripture I was talking about here. Galatians 4:13, it says, and you know that because of physical infirmity, the regular King James said infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel to you at the first, and my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So that's the scripture I was just talking about right there. That's what I just explained. Amen. Ah, my Jesus. Okay. Let's go to another one. I'm just going through the biblical fruits of apostolic ministry. Amen. Biblical fruits of apostolic ministry. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians verse 7. Amen. And let me explain this real quick, okay? Every church or every ministry that the apostles oversaw in the Bible, there was times where the apostles had to rebuke. Amen. Don't get me wrong now. We're supposed to rebuke in love, but we're supposed to rebuke. Amen. Even if rebuke is coming in love, it don't always feel like it's coming in love. Can I say that? Amen. Say that again. Even though a rebuke is supposed to be said in love, the person who's receiving it ain't gonna always feel love. Mm-hmm. Amen. My Lord. You know what? Let me go to 2 Corinthians verse chapter 13. We'll go there real quick. And I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. Amen. For edification and not for destruction. But it do say that he still used his authority and sharpness. So sometimes as an apostle, you're going to have to be sharp. You have to be a little stern. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Apostles are very authoritative individuals. That's why the apostle has to be the most humblest person in the kingdom. Amen. The apostle has to be the most humblest person in the kingdom. And nobody demonstrated greater humility than Christ did. Amen. Nobody demonstrated greater humility than Christ did. First of all, he was seated on a throne of glory, and he humbled himself and came in the earth. Amen? He humbled himself. So, first of all, that's humility right there. And then, secondly, he washed his disciples' feet. What leader you know going to wash their disciples' feet? Some of these pastors now want folks to wash their feet, but you don't see them anointing and washing nobody else's feet. Amen. I'm just saying. My Lord. So humility is very important. Amen. But people confuse, my Lord, people confuse arrogance with boldness. Amen. Let me explain the two. Arrogance, when somebody is arrogant, amen, they're so prideful and puffed up in their own ability to preach and articulate certain things, all right? As far as boldness is concerned, the Apostle Paul said, I boast in the Lord and not of myself. So you can tell an arrogant apostle because they're always talking about who they are. You don't know who I am. I am Apostle so-and-so. Do you know the authority which I possess? Oh, yeah, you got something that's like that. You can tell the ones that's arrogant, too, because they look down on you like you're nothing. Mm-hmm. No love, no nothing. They just look down on you like you're nothing, like you stink. They're not approachable. They're not nothing. And I know that, you know, apostles, a lot of times we don't have time to be personal with everybody all the time. Amen. But you ought to be approachable sometime. Amen. You ought to be approachable sometime now. And when you talk to folks, amen, folks should be able to talk to you and have a normal conversation without you with your nose poked up in the air, holler about you, Apostle so-and-so. And should nobody have to come bow before you and kiss your ring? Amen. You ain't the Pope. Amen. The Pope is a pagan. That Roman Catholic stuff is pagan. Amen. So for all y'all wearing the little fish hats that the Pope wearing the little Catholic garments, all that's pagan. All that's pagan. Take it off. Amen. We gonna get into that fish hat, the head of Dagon. They're a Philistine god. We're not gonna get into that today. Amen. My Lord, Father, I bless your name today. Hallelujah. So understand this, that even if you go to 2 Corinthians 10, and if you read it all the way through, you know, a lot of people from 2 Corinthians 10, they just quote that one scripture, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. But let's look at the context in which that scripture was written here. I'm going to read chapter 10. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read probably the first half of it, and the rest of it you can read on your own time. It says, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold towards you. So he's saying that while I was with you now, I was humble in meekness, but now I got to write you and I got to be bold with you now. He says, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. So they had people in the ministries that they oversaw, the Apostle Paul had problems with them because some of them was thinking that the apostles was walking in the flesh. Amen. So basically, in so many words, they start questioning their apostolic ministry. Amen. They start questioning them. It says, For though we walk in the flesh, we war not according to the flesh. See, that's the context in which it's talking about. Everybody's talking about, oh, we just war according to the spirit and not to the flesh, and yada yada. But check out the context in which it was written. The Apostle Paul was talking about. The Apostle Paul was addressing the accusations of the people of some in the churches that were saying that they was walking according to the flesh. So that's why he said, even though we walk in the flesh, even though we're human beings, we don't war according to the flesh. Amen? My Lord. Hallelujah. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, then let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. So the thing about it is they were saying that just like you belong to Jesus Christ, we belong to Jesus Christ too. It says, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. Amen. Stop right there real quick. Let me go down to verse 13. It says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. So the apostles had to get them straight. Be like, hey, look, you know, God gave us this authority here. And God put you under the umbrella of this authority that God has given us. He did that. So he had to set some things straight, and he had to rebuke them. He had to be stern. Even though the apostles was humble, amen, and they recognized that the apostles was humble. But at the same time, when it came time to rebuke, they had to rebuke. As an apostle, you cannot be scared to rebuke. I'm talking about biblical fruits of apostolic ministry now, the ministry of an apostle, amen? Apostles rebuke, amen. And like I said, I don't got time to really cover everything concerning apostolic ministry today. There is more. There is more. There is more. Amen. So once I get through these, amen, I'll probably have to give you all more on the next segment time. Amen. But I'm going to get through these scriptures. So if you read 2 Corinthians 10 all the way through, you'll see that the apostles knew when to be bold and when to be humble. An apostle's rebuke comes with boldness. Not with arrogance, but with boldness. There's a difference. Amen. Some people didn't like the boldness of the apostles' letters, too. You read it, you'll see that they didn't like the boldness of the apostles' letters. They took them, pretty much they took them for chumps because of their humbleness in the presence of the people. Amen. And later on in that scripture, the apostle Paul even talked about his measure of rule that Christ has given him over those churches. Amen. And tell some apostles that they get the big head. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4. We'll go there again. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, remember that word hour again. See that word hour. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen. He says, we don't look at the things which are seen. This is the Apostle Paul talking now. He says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. So all apostles are kingdom-minded, and they're always looking at the unseen and not the seen. Basically, apostles are not carnal. Amen. You cannot, there's no such thing as a carnal apostle. I'm sorry. Amen. Apostles, we walk in the Spirit 24/7. Amen. Every day, 24/7. Well, you can't be in the Spirit all day long. That's a lie. See, some people get mixed up being spooky and spiritual. Just because you're spiritual or you walking in the Spirit don't mean you got to be spooky and mysterious and ridiculous looking all day long. Amen. Just because you fasting don't mean you got to look like you're fasting. Amen. Amen. When you walk around your house, you can pray in tongues all day long. But please, when you get to work, don't be jerking and talking about I feel it. No, you don't, with your religious self. Amen. I've seen people do that. I'm serious. People go in the grocery store, start ministering to sinners. And then start speaking in tongues. You're going to run them away. Somebody just couldn't control it. Well, if you can't control that, then that's a demon. Because my Bible says that the spirit of prophet is subject to the prophet. Anyway, didn't mean to get off there. But apostles walk in the spirit daily. But they're not spooky. Amen? People get that mixed up. My Lord. Hallelujah. I love this. Amen. So apostles are always kingdom-minded. And the apostles always face the apostles, I'm going to tell you something. You will face the challenge of people under the umbrella of the your authority. Amen. Challenge your authority. Amen. While we're still in 2 Corinthians, you can find that in verse 13, 1 through 3. Matter of fact, I'm going to read it. It says, this will be the third time, this Apostle Paul speaking again, I am coming to you by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word shall be established. I told you before and foretell as if I were present the second time. And now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest. If I come again, I will not spare. He said, I ain't gonna be too nice next time. Amen. He says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak towards you, but mighty in you. So basically what he was saying was they were seeking proof that everything that he was doing was of God or not. Amen. He was seeking that proof. Tell you, apostles, you're going to experience that. Amen. You're going to experience folks that are in the churches that you cover, oversee or whatever, challenging the authority of God upon your life. These are all things that apostles go through. Amen. And you notice a lot of it has to do with pretty much suffering on different levels, different kinds of adversities and suffering. I'm just trying to paint a picture for all the ones who say that they're apostles. Amen. You can have folks challenge your authority all the time. Amen. Now check this out. Being that apostles are fathers, amen, they birth forth their children in the spirit. Meaning that it's your job as an apostle to make sure that the people of God are born again. It's your job as an apostle to make sure the people are born again. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, it says that my little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ be formed in you. It is your responsibility as an apostle to make sure that the people that you're ministering to are really born again. Amen. The Bible says that if you're not born again, you can't be in the kingdom. Amen. And I explained that on so many segments, and I taught that thing so many different ways. Amen. Philippians 3:17. Let's go there. Philippians 3:17. It says, yes, if I am being poured out as a drink offering and a sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad to rejoice with you all. Oh, wrong one. Amen. I'm reading 2, chapter 3, verse 17. It says, brethren, join in following my example. Note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. A pattern. Apostles are examples to the body. Amen. Chapter 4 in Philippians, verse 9, it says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Apostles are examples to the body. Amen. Apostles are examples to the body. Amen. So you're supposed to be the example
of what a son, a child of God, a son or daughter of God should walk. Amen. You're supposed to be an example. Amen. I hope y'all following me. Also, check this out. You go to Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. I'm just giving you scripture now. I ain't coming with no deep stuff today. Amen. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. It says, I marvel that you are so turning away so soon from him who called you in grace, in the grace of Christ, to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Amen. That includes Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Hebrew Israelites, includes all them folks. Amen. It says, my Lord, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Amen. It says, let him be accursed. So, apostles expose heresy. It's the Apostle Paul talking again, and he's exposing the heresy. He said, look, anything other than the revelation that the God has given us for y'all, it ain't God. Amen. They exposed that thing because during that time, amen, that was going on. That's why the Apostle Paul addressed it. A lot of stuff that was being addressed is because it was going on during that time. Amen. So all foreign doctrines out there, those of us who are apostles, we're supposed to challenge that doctrine. Amen. Especially if it's amongst the people of God. We got a whole bunch of different doctrines floating around here right now. A whole bunch. Amen. Got a whole bunch of different doctrines. And they need to be dealt with. We'll go back to Philippians 1:7. It says, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in so much as both in my chains and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Amen. You go to verse 17. It says, But the latter, out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. It's Apostle Paul. He's saying that he's appointed for the defense of the gospel. Amen. As apostles, we are supposed to defend the gospel. Amen. We are supposed to defend the gospel. So anything that's coming up against the gospel, trying to pervert people away from the gospel, amen, we are supposed to come up against that and point the people directly back to Christ. Amen. I hope I'm helping you. It's a lot that come with apostolic ministry. Why you think it's such a burden? Amen. God will not give us nothing that we can't bear. But understand that real apostles go through. We have a great responsibility, and we wear many hats in the kingdom. Amen. This is not a glamorous ministry. Amen. And this is one of my favorites right here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 real quick. Amen. It's one of my personal favorites right here. Chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Amen. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Hello? It says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say I had baptized in my own name. Stop right there. Another thing, apostles break down denominational barriers. That was the first act of separation and denominationalism after the early church was established. Why? Because one was saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos. Sounds familiar today, huh? I'm Koji. I'm Church of God in Christ. Oh, no, I'm Pentecostal over here. Oh, no, 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 I'm Baptist. I was born a Baptist, I'm a die Baptist. Oh, no, I'm holiness. Oh, no, I'm non-denominational, but you're still religious and traditional. I'm Methodist. I'm Presbyterian. I'm Lutheran. I'm a Calvinist. Mm-hmm. All these separations, divisions, and denominations, the Apostle Paul addressed it. The apostles have the anointing to break down denominational barriers, and we're going to see that in the near days to come. We're going to see true apostolic vessels going forth, breaking down denominational barriers. Amen. Because all are supposed to be in Christ anyway. Say that again. All are supposed to be in Christ anyway. So one saying I'm Church of God in Christ, or one saying that I'm this or I'm that, that's not God. Denominations are not of God. Amen. And all these denominations were started by different men. They try to make these different groupings. They try to establish these different groupings based upon the works and the doctrines of men. See, the problem is that everybody take their piece of revelation that God has given them and they make a whole movement out of it. And within that movement, they shut down everything else that emerges outside of their setting. But my Bible says that we know in part and we prophesy in part, so everybody has a part to play. Hello? Everybody has a part to play, so your part ain't the only part. Amen. That's why it's okay to read books and stuff, just the right ones. Amen, because you never know what God is speaking to somebody else that may further enlighten you on what God is speaking to you or add on. That's why I don't knock nobody else's revelation. Amen. So in the days to come, and the Lord showed me this too, that we're going to see the breaking down of denominational barriers. A lot of people are going to be coming out of that denominational mindset. Because when the kingdom of God is preached and demonstrated, my God, it draws the line in the sand. Either you are of God or you're not. Amen. Either you're going to believe the whole Bible or none at all. Because each denomination takes a piece of the Bible and makes a whole doctrine and a whole gospel out of it. Amen. And then through the years, people start adding stuff to it. Amen. Then you got the Pentecostals, they believe, you know, in the oneness thing, and then you got certain ones over here, you get it's Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then you got some over here, you know, it's just Jesus in Jesus' name, and you know, you got all this stuff, and it's causing all this confusion, and that's another reason why folks, it's hard for people to get saved, too, because of all these denominational barriers. They don't know which one to believe. They don't know which one to believe because of so many denominations. Baptist, Pentecostal, which one? Which one? Amen. So God is going to break up all that other stuff. And all that stuff it gets broken up through the apostolic anointing. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God. That is enough. And also, too, those of us as apostolic vessels, we have to be careful about establishing these networks. Because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of these networks are growing, and they're starting to become or function like denominations. They're starting to become or function like denominations. Amen. And then you have some of these networks now, they believe that they so much got the truth. They believe that they so much got the truth that now they're beginning to become cult status. Amen. Anytime your church believe that they're the only church and they got the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help them God, that's a cult. No one church will never have everything. You're going to always need something from somebody else. God made it that way. So that you won't start exalting yourself and start thinking that you God. Amen. You got some now, boy, that believe that they believe that they just right. And they wrong as two left shoes. And another thing too, this just came to my spirit too. I want to read this real quick. I really do. Out of 1 Corinthians, second chapter. I'm gonna read the second chapter. Where is that? Verse 14. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Did you hear that? He who is spiritual judges all things. For all those that say that we can't judge. Amen. Yes, we can. We can judge the church. We can't judge the world. We can judge the church. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, that's what the Bible say. Everybody holler about we can't judge. That's a lie from the pit. Amen. I can show you in a couple places in the scripture where them apostles judged. Amen. Them apostles judged. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But he had the mind of Christ. Now, let's go to Romans 8 real quick. We're still talking about the apostles now. Still talking about apostolic ministry because it was the apostles that wrote these letters. Amen. The apostles that wrote these letters. It says Romans 8, verse 5. It says, for those who live accordingly to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And then let me read some too. It says in verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Right? So I read all that to say this. Apostles challenge carnality. Amen. Folks get mad when you challenge their carnality. Amen. Apostles challenge carnality. It says right there that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So if you're being led by your flesh, who your daddy? Huh? Apostles challenge carnality. Folks get mad when certain stuff is exposed, like your record collection. And I think I'm going to start a campaign to get all secular music out the house of God. I think I'm going to start a campaign to do that because that don't make no sense. That don't make no sense that we are so ignorant of our identity in Christ that we will go and accept whatever the enemy throws out there. Mm-hmm. apostles challenge carnality. So if you carnal, the apostle gonna challenge that. I ain't talking about no new babe in Christ who just got delivered and they still learning, and God is still taking them through them. I'm talking about these old coons that know better but just don't do better. If you've been saved for 2 years now, so you ought to be delivered. Let me use my words carefully. If you've been going to church for 2 years, amen. If you've been in church for 2 years, you ought to be delivered. I think that's a better way to do it. That's a better way to say it. If you've been going to church for 2 years, you ought to be delivered. If the power of God is within that church, and the kingdom of God is being preached, and the kingdom of God is being advanced, and that church is doing what God has called, you ought to be delivered in that church. Matter of fact, it don't even take 2 years to be delivered. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. It don't take God long to do nothing. Them disciples who was walking with Jesus, they walked with Jesus 3 years, 3.5 years, and they was being taught about the kingdom. Then once Jesus died, they was released into their apostleship. It don't take God long. It don't take God long. Amen. That I ain't saying that just because you've been saved 3 years, you can go ahead and be an apostle. I ain't say that. Some folks will take that wrong. Amen. If that ain't where God leading you, if you don't have the anointing or apostolic fruit, amen. I just gave you the biblical fruit of an apostle, and a lot of it has to do with suffering, persecution, folks not liking you and lying on you. Amen. And everything you preach is being scrutinized. Everything you preach is being under scrutiny. They're trying to find fault in everything that you do. If you're not going through that one, then I question your apostleship and what you're doing. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, because if you're an apostle, you won't experience the burden of the kingdom. Apostles feel that burden of the kingdom, man. And if you're not feeling the burden of the kingdom, you're not feeling the burden of God and the heart of God for the people of God, for his people and for this world. If you're not sensitive to God in that manner, how can you say you are an apostle and you're not even sensitive to God? You know why the power of God is not flowing in these churches? It's because they're letting a bunch of worldly mess in the church. Huh? It's a bunch of worldliness, a bunch of secular music, and everybody want to make love music. But as soon as somebody speak out against that, then all of a sudden you carnal. And we try to find every excuse. We try to find every excuse to try to keep that mess in there. Well, when I'm listening to my when I'm with my husband, I'm with my wife, I don't want to be listening to Jesus. I love you. You shouldn't be wanting to listen to nobody's voice while you're in the bedroom with your husband or your wife. That's nasty. If Barry White got to get you in the mood, then your husband ain't doing his job. Amen. And men, if you in the room with your wife and you got to listen to Barry White, that's nasty. Amen. I'm not going to get too deep into that. But that's nasty. I don't want to hear another man's voice while I'm with my wife. That's nasty. I don't want to hear another woman's voice. Amen. A voice I want to hear is the voice of my wife. I don't want to hear nothing else. Oh yeah, I know folks don't like it, but it's true. That's nasty. Just nasty. Amen. Oh my Lord. Folks just flipped it, man. They just lost it. Amen. But I thank God for real apostles. Amen. There are some out there, and I wanna just acknowledge. I respect all real apostles. I do. There are some that's out there that's actually doing the work of an apostle. I respect that. You have some young men and women of God that's out there doing it, doing more than some of these older folks are doing. Amen. They out there and they doing it, man. And I commend y'all for that, because it's not an easy task to push forward like that.
So I commend y'all for that, amen? I commend all the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers that's performing their ministry function. I respect it. I respect all the people of God that's out there preaching the truth, amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. It's the truth that shall make you free, not a lie. You can't get free on a lie, amen? You can be comfortable in your flesh on a lie, mm-hmm. And that will give you a false sense of freedom and security, but you'll never be free in the spirit. You will always be bound up, struggling with them thoughts, dealing with all the stuff that you're dealing with. My God. So once again, apostles are supposed to challenge carnality. If you're an apostle and you always got a cute little message all the time, there's something wrong. You need to go pray, fast, something. Because I read to you earlier that apostles are supposed to fast. Amen. The apostle Paul said he be fasting. He's the example of what an apostle should be. You look at Paul, Peter, and Jesus. Them examples of what apostles are supposed to be and do. Amen. So next time I'm going to get into the different types of apostles. There are different types of apostles. All apostles are not the same. All apostles function differently. Amen. And I'm going to be talking about the commissioning of an apostle. Amen. When you're sent, what are you sent to do? Amen. Because understand that the kingdom of God is so multidimensional. Yes, all apostles are called to preach the kingdom. But what is your part in advancing the kingdom? Amen. Peter and Paul didn't function the same way. Amen. They didn't. Timothy and Silas didn't function the same way. So we're going to get into the different types of apostles. Amen. So I'm going to open up these lines now. Amen. And I had to mute the lines. The reason why I had to mute the lines is because, I love everybody that come on these lines. You know, and I try not to be like other folks be doing. And, you know, I try to give everybody a chance to speak. And, you know, I don't mind you amening, you know. But the thing about that is that, you know, folks be having all kind of background noise, and you tell them don't do it, and they do it anyway. You ask them nicely not to do it, and then they interrupt you while you're teaching. That's crazy. But I love you anyhow. Amen. Amen. We just got to have some order to this thing. So I'm going to unmute these lines now. Praise God. Yes, 13 says, may I have prayer? Yes, you may. Yes, you may. If you want to call in, you can call in, and we will definitely pray with you. That's not an issue. Amen. Anybody who deserves prayer. Amen. Always allow opportunity for prayer. Amen. We've had testimonies, man, of God doing some tremendous things on this line through the glory of God. Amen. A while ago, I had Apostle Davis come on and, you know, conduct a mass deliverance. And, you know, a lot of people, okay, she can't call in. Okay, that's fine. Just if you feel comfortable telling me what you need prayer for in the chat room, or if you just want me just to pray, I just pray. Amen. Whatever the Lord give me, I pray it over you. Amen. Amen. But, we even had testimonies of a couple of people being healed on the line, you know, and that's what it's all about, you know. A lot of people have even called in, received a prayer and prophetic ministry. The Lord delivered and restored them. This thing is about the people of God, amen. There's too many apostles trying to build their own kingdom, amen. And I'm not feeling that, you know, because we are here to build the kingdom of God. It should not be about us. And we can receive from the people. The Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. He was talking to the apostles. Freely you have received, you get it. Amen. Amen. Rather be your money, yeah, out of your pocket. Amen. Everybody talking about how everybody laid everything at the apostles' feet, but they skipped the second part. Amen. It says that the apostles distributed according to the needs of the people.
Amen. So everybody talking about, yeah, you got to give to the man of God. And don't get me wrong. I'm not against giving to a man of God or a woman of God. I'm not against that at all. I believe in giving and sowing. You know, I give and I sow all the time. Amen. But if you ain't never dishing out nothing, you ain't never giving nothing, then I ain't going to be giving to you. Amen. Some of y'all better watch where y'all be sowing y'all money into.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all better watch that, I'm telling you. Because you're sowing all these seeds and you wonder why you ain't getting nothing back. I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna tell on myself, amen. And I'm gonna get to Renee in just a second. Just hold on, amen. Okay, please just pray. I got you. I got you, Renee. I got you. But somebody needs to hear this real quick. I can remember when I first started off in the ministry. I ain't had no kind of help or nothing. You know, the only thing I was doing seeking God had somebody who was supposed to be my spiritual father or whatever. You know, but you know, that's a long story. Anyway, I called myself, and the only reason why I did it because he did it. I called myself writing these little, I wrote Peter Popoff, matter of fact. I sent for the little cloth. Lord have mercy, y'all going to laugh at me. I sent for this cloth. No, not the cloth. He had the water. I wrote Popoff and Don Stewart. Don Stewart had the little green cloth, and it was a long time ago, y'all. I was immature then. I wrote them. They sent me this thing. First thing they asked for is money. First of all, y'all gonna laugh at this. This man told me to take a glass of water at night and put it beside my bed, and the angel of God was going to come and trouble the water. And when I get up in the morning, drink it. I'm like, man, are you serious? And then this man was sending me anointed sand, and I'm like, anointed sand, come on now. I can see the water or the cloth. That's halfway biblical. I mean, he might be scamming folks, but you know, he is somewhat in the Bible, you know. But sand, and he gave me some little paper cloth thing. I'm like, man, this is garbage. But I'm saying all that to say this. I end up sowing my money to this man. Then after a while, I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. Now, every time he write me, you know, you sow a seed of $20, sow a seed of $50 and you can. And the numbers went up and up and up and up. And one day he wrote me, he said, God told me to tell you to sow a certain amount of seed. I forgot how much it was. I think it was like $70 or $80 or something like that. And God was going to do something. And then I said, Lord, if you really told that man that, see, that's when my common sense kicked in then. I'm like, Lord, if you would have told that man that, then you would know that I did not have that. I said, if you want me to sow this money, you're going to give it to me. Can I tell you I never got it? Can I tell you I sold hundreds of dollars into that man's ministry and got nothing in return to this day? Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, me, I don't mind giving. I gave all my life, even when I was in the world. But that right there was a shame. And you got all these folks scamming these folks, hollering about sowing into this ministry. And yes, I'm going to call it out just like it is because it ain't God. Amen. Y'all so busy chasing these green handkerchiefs, these blue, these red handkerchiefs. I seen a lady on there. She got an anointed gemstone. What is an anointed gemstone? What that gonna do?
My God.
A point of contact. Ain't that a mess?
And see,
you don't have too many people, apostles and prophets out here exposing this stuff because half of them doing it or half of them believing it. Y'all stop writing Bernard Jordan. Yep. Don't write for no free personal prophecy. That ain't nothing but a psychic hotline. Amen. Can I say that again? That ain't nothing but a psychic hotline. And y'all stop getting tripped up over his son, too, because he supports his daddy ministry. Amen. So y'all stop writing it. I loose you from that. Yeah? I sever that tie in Jesus' name. I just felt like somebody was writing somebody they shouldn't be writing. I sever that tie in Jesus' name. Amen. Renee, we're going to pray for you, dear. Amen. We are going to pray for you. My Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for Renee right now. Father, you know the situation. You know everything that she's going through. You know everything that she's experiencing. Father, you even know the hardships. Father, I really see and I feel that there's some hardships that she's experiencing in this season. But, Father, I speak strength right now to her spirit in Jesus' name. My Lord Jesus, my Lord, strength. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for strength to endure. My Lord. Renee, I don't know what you've been experiencing lately, but I do know this, because the Lord is ministering to me right now concerning your situation. Whatever you've been going through and experiencing, it's been like this for a while. You've been enduring this for a while now. But I'm going to tell you something. This is your season to really bust loose from this thing here. It may not look like it. It may not seem like it. It seems like everything is up against you in the natural. And I don't even know you personally, but this is deep in my spirit. It's finna be over here. Because I'm going to tell you something. All things must come to an end here, except the kingdom of God, of course. But all things must come to an end. And this right here is getting ready to end. Amen. Renee, I pray you can hear me. This thing here is coming to an end. Like I said, I only know in part and see in part, like the Bible says. But you've been going through for a while. Amen. And I know I'm hitting home. You've been going through for a while. But this thing is finna end. Your worst days is over with, yeah? Your worst days are over. And I'm going to tell you something, too. I see some things even changing around, changing in your house, too. The atmosphere in your house is changing. And I'm even seeing some relatives, too, something dealing with your relatives. It's some kind of quarreling or conflict with your relatives. But God is going to be able to turn that around too. Watch. You just continue to stand and continue to pray. Here, your labor is not in vain. You've been praying for a while. Your labor is not in vain. And I'm even seeing some things too that's been going on with you physically. God is going to touch that area too. Here, the enemy's been afflicting your body with some things, but God is going to turn that around too. Amen. Because that's not normal. Stuff that you've been experiencing, and you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not gonna speak everything over the air, but you've been experiencing some things in your body, and there's nothing wrong with you, okay? There's nothing wrong with you. I want you to know that the Lord really wants you to know that there's nothing wrong with you. Everything that you've been experiencing physically, there's nothing wrong with you. All right? A lot of times what's around us can affect us physically too. Amen. And I believe you know what I'm talking about. But all that's finna break here. Yeah? All that is finna break. And matter of fact, even as I'm speaking to you now, the Lord is breaking some things off of you even now as I speak to you. Mm-hmm. Because it's been a burden that you've been carrying for a while. And the Lord is releasing that burden. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A lot of times we carry burdens that we're not supposed to carry. Mm-hmm. So the Lord wants you to be encouraged and know that your prayers have not gone on deaf ears. And he's working on your behalf right now as we speak. As a matter of fact, before this week is out, you're going to see some things different. You're going to see some things immediately change and shift in your house. Amen. So you can take that and receive it in Jesus' name and expect it to happen. God bless you. Keep running here. Keep praying. Keep pressing. Keep pressing. Keep pressing. Amen. And know that the best is yet ahead. Amen. And it's not as far off as you think it is. Everything that you've been praying for, even things physically, even physical things that you need, even natural things that you need, not necessarily you want, but you need, God said he's going to answer that for you too, hell. Because you pretty much pray for stuff that you need. God going to give you everything that you need. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We got some folks on the line. Praise God. Amen. We got North Central Texas, North Carolina. I'm doing good in 2011. We got a caller from Georgia, Pastor Jackie on the line, somebody from Virginia, chosen for this. Amen. We got some folks in the chat room. We got guest 17. God bless you. Guest 16. God bless you. Guest 11. God bless you. Guest 7. We got Prophetess Angie. And we got Teton. Amen. And Teton is on the line, too. How you doing, sir?
What's going on, brother, man? How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, man. I'm doing wonderful.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Amen. Not a problem at all, man. Anything you wanted to add or say?
Well, I just want to just encourage the listeners that the body of Christ is true, and I want to confirm what you're saying, man. There is a mass exodus, and, you know, we just got to get prepared to do the true work of ministry. And so it's an exciting time, and I'm looking forward to fellowshipping with you, brother. I'm here in Virginia, and let's go drag the devil, man, and bring the kingdom of God here. So people can get
I know that's
here.
Right. I'm gonna tell you something. What you just said, you just reminded me of something too. The Lord spoke to me earlier today, and He said that Virginia is on the brink of a genuine move of God. Many people have tried to come here and do certain things, but you know they were not equipped to do it.
Mm.
But the Lord spoke to me today, this morning, matter of fact. I was getting up, getting ready to go about my day and everything, and the Lord was just speaking to me concerning Virginia. You know, because I'm going to tell you something. Virginia is some hard ground to break up. And you have to have a special type of anointing to be able to even break up this ground here. Because I'm going to tell you something. Virginia has some deep history. Amen. It has some deep history, even all the way back from slavery and those types of principalities and spirits that's been governing Virginia. You know, as a matter of fact, it's like, not to sound too deep or nothing, but I literally seen like how the enemy then set up a throne over Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
He literally set up a throne over Virginia, but can I tell you, he about to be dethroned.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
He about to be dethroned because Virginia's getting ready to see a genuine move of God. I don't even like to call them revivals, you know, because a lot of the past revivals have come and gone.
Right.
But the kingdom of God is getting ready to be advanced in Virginia, put it that way.
Well, Doc, it's a blessing to be here, man. I did not intend to come to Virginia, but, you know, it was the will of the Lord to be here. I was on my way out back to Texas. But, you know, I'm really excited, man, what you're doing, man. It's a blessing, and I just want to come in and support what you're doing and, you know, help people understand that this, again, this is a exciting time in the body of Christ. And, you know, as you and I noticed on some of the social networking entities, we spend a lot of energy beating up the infrastructure of the church, and folks have to be reminded that the church is alive and well. You know, we're dealing with apostasy and the papacy order that sits over these denominations.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we need to begin to bring balance, and I see that you're doing that, and I'm with you, man. You know, EX Ministries, man, we've been doing the same work, different mm-hmm. places, different things, and, you know, just looking forward to continue the work of ministry in this area and in this region. So bless you, man, and thank you, man. Thank you for the invite and the opportunity to fellowship.
Amen, and I really appreciate you gracing this line. And for all of those who don't know who this man of God is, this is Teton Moffitt from EX Ministries. I'm pretty sure you heard of Truth Behind Hip Hop, G. Craig Lewis, you know, doing an awesome work. And matter of fact,
We use y'all videos as ministry tools. We really do.
Amen. Amen.
We really do.
We set up shop here. We work and put together EX Ministry right here in Virginia, man. I've been preaching in some of these churches, man. You're right about these strongholds.
Yeah.
You know, these jive religious folks, man. You come with the word of God, they duck.
Mm-hmm.
But we're breaking ground here in Virginia as well. So it's tough. It's real tough, but it's wonderful work. Work of ministry is good. It ain't grievous.
Mm-hmm. I know that's right. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so I really appreciate what y'all do, and, you know, through the Lord using you all, a lot of eyes have been opened, too.
Amen.
Even the people that we sit down and show those videos to who listens to secular music. I mean, we just been ministering to people, you know, who listens to secular music and stuff like that. Even folks that's in the church that listen to secular music, you know, and you know, after they seen that, you know, their eyes was open, a lot of them, and a lot of them is like, you know, hey, you gotta see this video, you know, but it's setting them free, and I thank
that's
God
right.
for that. It's setting them
Amen.
Free, because
Amen.
It is the truth that's gonna make us free, not a lie.
That's right. That's right.
Not no compromising, lukewarm, half in, half out, church pastor or Christian either.
That's
not gonna save folks. Matter of fact, that's gonna turn folks further into the arms of the devil. But if you give folks truth, and you know what, I've really been noticing this too, and this is what the Lord had to enlighten me on too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that when you give people truth when they first come in, you give them truth when they first come in instead of trying to make them comfortable and preach an inspirational little cute message. No, preach the kingdom, preach the truth, and that's going to get them delivered, get them healed, and that's going to get them on the right track. But if you sugarcoat everything when they first come in,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you something. The church is producing nothing but a bunch of lukewarm Christians.
People
are comfortable
right.
going to church and going to church and then going back home, listening to Beyonce all in a mess, you know, and listening to folks like Kanye West and all these 5% artists and all this other stuff, listening to these artists, you know, not even knowing their lifestyles. You see what I'm saying? And then I like that thing you posted about Sunday's mess, too. It's Sunday's mess. I like that thing because you have stuff like that that's encouraging this type of a lifestyle amongst so-called Christians. And I do say so-called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really important that, you know, even in this area and even in the context of what you're saying, a lot
mm-hmm.
of people are not being discipled. They're not even being regenerated. They come in and make an open confession to believe in Jesus Christ, and we put them to work in churches, you know. And so when they don't have no foundation and nothing to stand on, they're not standing on the word. They're standing on words from man.
Yeah.
When the enemy comes in, it's like to pull the cart from front of their feet, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's a continuous cycle. And so I think we have to get back to the basics. As it pertains
yes.
to ministry, you know, our purpose, why we do what we do,
mm-hmm.
and get outside these buildings and bring the kingdom of God to the communities. And so I'm encouraged. I'm really encouraged, you know, even listening to you as you share and, you know, just being a part of true men and women of God and what the agenda is. And that agenda is for God to be glorified through us and ministry. And so, man, you keep doing what you're doing, man, because I'm going to tell you, man, it's a great work.
Yes, it is.
It really is, and so I don't take it lightly. A lot of people, you know, they use the social networks for one thing, but I think we as believers need to occupy these tools to communicate, you know, the love of Christ, the word of
Amen.
God,
Amen.
And add to the kingdom. You know, so it's great, man. I'm excited.
Amen. I am too. Amen. I definitely look forward to coming your way soon, since both of us in the same state. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Amen.
So your ministry, your church, where are you all located?
We're in Hampton right now. The ministry is getting ready to be established in September.
Okay.
We're establishing the ministry in September. You know, okay. So that goes. That goes for guest number who got off here, guest number five, who asked me how many churches have I established. Amen. Amen. But anyway, God bless him. But yeah, we get ready to get the ball rolling in September. So I thank God for that. We get ready to do some work down here. A lot of work to be done on the streets too.
Well, yeah, we're establishing some work in Yorktown, and so, like I said, I think I have your phone number, your contact information. You know, it'll be great to get a overall perspective of this community, man, and we all can build together and really get out here in this community and be a light.
Yeah, we definitely can get together on that. And this is what I was talking about earlier too, and this is what this is all about too. You know, I strongly believe that, you know, if we stop us as believers or professing believers, stop being so denominational minded, become kingdom minded and come together, you know, we can cover a whole lot more ground.
That's right.
Versus to us being denominational, you know, because I read earlier and I proved this scripture that the apostles break down denominational barriers. You know, the apostolic anointing breaks down denominational barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And in the days to come, well, we're going to see a lot of denominational barriers being broken. A lot of people are going to be broken away from denominational religious bondage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, matter of fact, we're going to see, the Lord is showing me that we're going to see a lot of people even come out of denominations like Kojic and even Baptist and even certain Pentecostal denominations. You know, we're going to start seeing people really come out of that mindset and come into a kingdom mindset.
They're coming up out of the papacy, huh? They're coming up out of the Roman Catholic.
Yeah. Sure is. Yep, because they show governed by it. They show governed by it, I'm telling you. And for all of y'all who are listening too, I'm glad you say that too. If you got 501c3s for your ministry, please get rid of them. I don't even know if there's a way to get rid of them, but if it is, get rid of it. Get that mess off that ministry, because that gives government legal access to your ministry, and when it comes time to shut you up, they have legal right to shut you up. All these 501c3 churches, them the ones that ain't preaching nothing. Amen. Them the ones that ain't preaching nothing. That's exactly why I don't got one, and you won't catch me with one either. You won't catch me 501c nothing. Amen. That way I can openly preach against homosexuality. Mm-hmm. I can openly preach against sin. Amen. And even certain politicians that ain't straight, I can preach about what they're doing. And don't have to worry about government legally in my business.
That's right. They come to shut you down if you don't follow in order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I much rather follow God's order. Amen. I live longer.
That's right.
Yes, sir. But, yeah, man of God, it was a pleasure to have you on. It's a pleasure to have you on. And I will forward you my info to your inbox on your Facebook, and I'll give you my info, and we can work from there.
Will do.
All right. All right, sir. I definitely appreciate you coming on. Amen. We got some more folks on this line. I want to acknowledge real quick too. Who's that caller from North Central Texas? Caller from North Central.
That's me, man of God.
Oh, Prophet Marcus, what's going on with you, man?
Not too much. Preaching. God bless you, man of God. It's a blessing to be able to serve with you on another day, and we appreciate God for you, and we thank God for the work of. The work of the kingdom that you have pretty much drowned yourself in, and we thank God for it, man of God, sowing these seeds of righteousness and and what the Word of God calls a true holiness, because if it's true righteousness and holiness, there will be some manifestations, some deliverances behind it. And I know by the word that you preach and the soundness of it that regardless of what kind of waves and storms come against it, it's going to continue to stand, and not only stand but multiply. So I appreciate you, man of God. I appreciate you so much.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, man of God. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Amen. East North Carolina. Who is that? East North Carolina. Who's calling from North Carolina?
This is Nichelle.
Nichelle, God bless you. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Amen. You've been hanging in there real good, huh?
Yes, sir, I have.
Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, the broadcast. I try to acknowledge all the guests that come on. You know, sometimes the line be so full, sometimes I can't get to everybody, but, you know, some people have hung up, so I can get to everybody. Amen. But I just want to take this moment to encourage you, because I really feel in my spirit you need to be encouraged on today. You know, there's some things that's been held up, and I'm pretty sure I'm hitting home right now. There's some things that's been held up for you, but they're getting ready to be released to you, so that you can do those things that you really desire to do. There's some things that you really desire to do, especially for the kingdom of God, and God is getting ready to give you those means to do those things. So you just be encouraged here and know that it's coming in God's timing. God has a timing for everything here. You know, a lot of times we think God should do it immediately, or God should do it right now, or Lord, you know, you gave me this vision to do this specific thing, but where's the resources? God said he got a timing for it here.
Thanks, God.
He got a timing for it here. He's also working out some things with you personally as well. I don't know quite what that is in detail, but he's working out some things personally with you. So you just continue just to trust God here. Because you are in a position right now where you have to trust God. So your trusting God has gotten you this far. And even though, you know, you're facing some things right now, but your trusting God has gotten you this far, and it's going to carry you on. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So be looking for that real soon. And also, too, the Lord told me to tell you just now that some of your relatives are getting ready to come to the Lord, too. As a result of what he's getting ready to do through you. Amen.
Praise God.
All righty. Hallelujah. I'm doing good in 2011. Who that is? I think I know you. I'm not quite sure. I'm
hey,
doing good in 2011.
This is Sister Joanna.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yes, yes indeed. How you been doing?
I've been doing okay. I'm kinda outside just coming from my son's football practice. I've been okay. I've been going to school. It's been kinda rough going Monday through Saturday, but I'm making it. I'm almost done. I graduated October 8th.
Amen. Yeah. Well be sure to keep me posted on that. Keep me posted on your graduation. It's good to hear from you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while.
Yes,
indeed. And my computer's been down, so I just got it fixed up. You got it.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Hear from me. So you have this going on every Wednesday now?
Not every Wednesday. You know, I be so busy sometimes. I really don't have time to really do it like I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I just got to the place where I can do it every week.
Oh, okay, yeah, just
yeah.
Whenever you get a chance. I know it's been a busy season for me.
Yeah, but that's all right, though, because God is still opening doors where I can be consistent with this thing down here, too. So I bless God for that, I really do. Amen, but just to be encouraged and know that, you know, everything that God spoke to you still stands.
Yeah, I'm just walking into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It still stands. It still stands. You know, sometimes we have to be reminded. Amen. Sometimes we have to be reminded, you know, because sometimes when we're patiently waiting like that and, you know, we be thinking about those things God spoke, I'm like, Lord, you know, hey.
When you coming through
yet.
For me? I
Amen.
Know, but it's been taking a lot of patience, but I know it's coming, and I just know what I have to do on my part, you know.
Like you said earlier, you are walking into it. One day it's just going to happen, bam, a time where you least expect it, it's just going to pop up and manifest. So everything, just hold on to every prophetic word that the Lord has spoken over your life concerning you, your family, and everything that you would do for the kingdom of God, and just hold on to it, even if you got to go back and listen to it sometimes or go back over the things that was written down, you know, or the things that the Lord has shared with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go back over sometimes, and sometimes you have to use that as your weapon of war. I remember the Apostle Paul told Timothy the war, good warfare with the prophecies that were spoken over his life. So sometimes you have to use your prophecies as a weapon of war against the enemy. You know, so, you know, I just encourage you just to continue to press and continue to put yourself in remembrance of God's promises concerning you, because they are sure to come to pass. Amen.
Amen. Thank you
Amen.
For encouraging prayers. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's not a problem. Love you now, yeah?
Okay, love you too. I'll see you later.
All right now.
Bye-bye.
Caller from Georgia. Who that is right there? Who's the caller from Georgia? Amen. No caller from Georgia? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we got Pastor Jackie on the line. God bless you, Pastor Jackie.
God bless you.
How you been?
Hi, how you been?
I'm doing good. I just want to acknowledge your presence. Amen. Caller from East Virginia. Who that caller from my state? Caller from East Virginia, who that is? Amen.
Hello, Apostle, this is Jasmine. How you doing?
Oh, what's going on, Jasmine? What's going on with you?
Nothing much.
Okay. I'm pretty sure you have a lot that you want to add and say too, huh?
Not a whole lot.
Okay.
One of the things that's interesting, you know, I bless God for the word, it was an awesome word. But one of the things that I'm seeing is a lot of people are not really, you know, there are some people that really desire, you know, to walk further in the apostolic, but they're not implementing the apostolic culture. It's like, for example, somebody may come on the line and hear a word like this and really be excited and really be, you know, motivated to start, you know, walking more in the apostolic, but they're not bringing the whole culture into their ministry. So it's like you can't just, it's just like you as an apostle, you can't say, okay, well, I'm going to walk in the apostolic, but not try to enforce it into your ministry. So it's really important that people seek God on how to enforce it into their ministry. You know, it may take some time depending upon the ministry that they're in. You know, each one is different. There's different strongholds. There's different, you know, traditions and different things that need to be broken down, but it's important to establish that apostolic culture. It's very important to do that because with the culture, the people are starting to understand, you know, what's going on and about the apostolic, because this is stuff that isn't really taught like that.
Yeah.
So it's important that the people understand, you know, not only the authority from the apostle, but how things are supposed to work in the apostolic culture, because it's with that environment, with that atmosphere, that the kingdom can really manifest and flow comfortably. Without that atmosphere set, it's like, you know, oh my goodness, the kingdom is flowing. What are we going to do? You know, people need to know how to adjust to that so it flows, and it's not like the kingdom is struggling to flow in the ministry.
You're right, and I'm gonna tell you something. And you reminded me of something that I spoke earlier. It's more to being an apostle than just teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You got a lot of apostles that teach, and I remember My apostle was telling me this. We were talking about this the other day. He was telling me, he said, it's more to being an apostle than just teach. And we were just talking about it. You know, you must not only be able to teach, but you're supposed to be able to demonstrate.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? You're supposed to be able to structure, you see what I'm saying, your ministry too, apostolically, uh-huh, according to the biblical pattern. That's already set in the Word of God. Like I said earlier, you know, oversight over a ministry or running a ministry was always an apostolic and a prophetic function. You see what I'm saying? The pastoral ministry being the dominant ministry of oversight over the church is not biblical. You don't see that nowhere. It was always the apostles and the prophets, and God had it that way for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was mostly the apostles, but church at Antioch, Acts 13. You know, that was ran by the prophets and the teachers. You see what I'm saying? But it had apostolic oversight because they was covered by the Jerusalem church, and I explained all of that before and how the Jerusalem church was the, you know, apostolic epicenter of its time. You see what I'm saying? You see, God has everything structured for a reason. And things don't run right when that structure is not in place.
That's right.
You know, that's why you have a lot of people that are in churches now, and they all about nursing somebody's wounds, which is fine, but the apostles equip the people, get them activated in their spiritual gifts, release them into whatever, you know, area of influence that they're supposed to be in, that they may advance the kingdom of God in that particular area that they are to have influence in. You see what I'm saying? But now all you have is a lot of pastors, you know, who just have that pastoral grace with no apostolic, no prophetic, no nothing, and the people of God are not really, you know, are growing like they should, and they're not really going forth, you know, demonstrating the kingdom like they should either.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It's more to this walk than just coming to church and being taught every day. You see what I'm saying? There must be a point in time where the believer matures, where that believer is supposed to be able to go out in the streets and minister to the lost, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. Prophetic ministry is very important. A lot of people done messed it up and, you know, took away the credibility of it. You know, you got these prophets now, you know, to prophesy your bank account and stuff like that. Well, that's a word of knowledge. You know, and I'm not against the word of knowledge. Jasmine, you've been around me. I flow very heavily in word of knowledge.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
But have you ever seen me call out somebody's bank account?
Or their social security number? No.
Yes, Lord, have mercy. And don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, I flow in word of knowledge very heavy, but God ain't never given nobody's bank account number. First of all, you call my bank account number out loud in public in front of everybody, I'm going to put a muzzle on your mouth.
Oh, Lord.
I don't care if you is prophet, Lord, I'm going to say this name. I don't care if you is prophet so-and-so. Man, I'm going to take my hand and put it over your mouth and tell you shit. Don't you call my bank account. Matter of fact, my bank account number, I'm going to tell you like Apostle John Eckhart say, my bank account number covered in the blood. You ain't going to be able to see my bank account number because mine's covered in the blood. 2111. I can't get that. You see what I'm saying? So you know, I'm not against word of knowledge, but you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I've even called certain names out. You see, certain names, but he never gave me nobody's bank account number. Come on now.
That's just a bit much.
You know, yeah, I don't believe in all that, but you know. Anyway, you got me on a whole nother thing, Jasmine. It's your fault.
But going back to what you were saying about, you know, the pastoral being the dominant in the church, you know, and for everybody that's on the line, you know, just to again clarify, he's not going against, you know, the pastoral position. You know, Apostle Blair honors that, but like you said, the oversight is supposed to be the apostolic. And, you know, Chris Valentin, the way he puts it, a lot of ministries are built, you know, the structure are structured without the apostolic in mind. So then when you get somebody that starts to come into the apostolic and tries to implement that, it creates problems because the system wasn't designed to operate with the apostolic. So we really need to get in a place, you know, for people who are coming into the apostolic, it needs to be reformed to work around the apostolic anointing.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of these churches, you know, just speaking in this area, because this is where I've been for the majority of my life, they're not structured to operate to include the apostolic or the prophetic. But we're going to focus on the apostolic because this is what the topic is. A lot of these churches are structured in leaving the apostolic out. How? I don't understand. When the early churches, you saw the apostles running things. You saw the apostolic anointing flowing in everything and causing and helping the everything function. That was the foundation. So
I'll tell you why.
Right.
I'll tell you why. It is the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Roman papacy, like a Teton was talking about, that Roman papacy, that Roman Catholic Church introduced all that paganism. You see what I'm saying? That's why you got all these pagan holidays. That's why modern Christianity, not the original itself according to the Bible, but modern Christianity now is paganized.
Please don't get me started on holidays.
Because yes, Christmas, Thanksgiving, yes, I said Christmas. You know, y'all around there talking about the tree, read Jeremiah 10 talks about the tree. Amen. Yes, I said it. I'm bold enough to say it. Christmas is pagan. It has
not
to do with Christ. Jesus was not born on no December 25th, and the Bible don't even tell us to celebrate his birthday. We acknowledge his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Thank you very much. There, I said it. Hallelujah. Feel better now. Thanksgiving, St. Patch, All Saints Day, that's a no-no. Everything about this culture is paganized. You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you something. These apostles scared to call it out, but I'm going to call it as it is. Amen. I ain't celebrating no Christmas. I tell them on Christmas, do not give me no presents because I will not get you none. I ain't giving you no Christmas present. Now, if you give me some money, I'm going to take it.
Look, receive that blessing.
I will receive it in Jesus' name. But just don't wrap it up in no paper. Just give it to me plain. That's all. I'll take it as a gift. But best believe, don't expect nothing from me on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Don't expect nothing. Matter of fact, everything's cheap after Christmas. So if you do want to give me something, give it to me after Christmas. Praise God. Hallelujah. There you go, right there. Amen. But all these paganized holidays we celebrate, and then some, you got some folks that actually put the Christmas tree up in the church and wonder why they got all that mess going on in church. Because you got an idol. You got an ancient idol. People don't know where that stuff originates from. And we just celebrate stuff, don't look it up, nothing. We just go by what folks say. That's just like this whole Bible prophecy thing. Everybody going by with Tim LaHaye and Perry Stone and all these folks saying. First of all, you listen to a bunch of theologians who don't cast out devils. Why would you listen to somebody that can't cast out a demon? Can't lay hands on the sick. Why would I listen to you? Why would I listen to you? Why would I listen to anything that you have to say concerning the Bible when you're not moving forth in kingdom demonstration? Why would I listen to you? Why would I go by your revelation? I'd rather study the Bible and let the Lord show me for him, for myself, being that I have the Holy Ghost. And Jasmine, you know we see devils cast out all the time.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we see devils cast out. We sick, all that. Amen. Legs grow out and everything, and we see all that.
Back seal, everything.
Amen. We see all that. So I'd rather let God. The same God that used us to do all that stuff is the same God that can give us revelation about the kingdom and about Bible prophecy and about all that stuff. I'm not listening to no powerless bootleg, jackleg theologian
Pharisee who can't cast out no devil. That don't make sense. Why would you listen to some? Lord have mercy, I'm trying to get off this show. You got me talking on a whole other thing now, but I guess I can do it. But the thing about it is, why would you listen to somebody who ain't moving in nothing? Ed Hinson, I'm pretty sure ain't nobody ever heard of him, but why would you listen to him? Why? And then half of these preachers get their revelation from them. Why would you do that? Would you do that? You see what I'm saying? And everybody want to talk about Apostle John Edgar, you know, rather he right or wrong, and I agree with a lot of it, but not all of it. But everybody want to talk about his eschatology views. But let me tell you something, though. I mean, at least he casts out devils.
Mm-hmm.
At least he prophesies. At least he got some character. At least
mm-hmm.
he got that going on. I mean, he just bold as an apostle. Now, am I saying what he's saying is right? I don't know. Amen. The only thing I know is what God showed me. Amen. Because I'm not listening to nobody that can't go forth and do nothing. Nobody that ain't changing, moving, and shaking nothing. Amen. If hell don't know your name, then you need to be equipped. You need to sit down and be equipped.
Amen.
Amen. And you casting out them devils and they don't know your name, something wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. So I bless God. I thank Jesus. Amen. Who else on this line? Let me see. Chosen for this, I just want to acknowledge your presence real quick. God bless you. How you doing?
God bless you, sir.
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge you. Just encourage you just to continue to, you know, hold on and, you know, those everything that the Lord has spoken to you, it still stands here. You're another
Amen.
One that the Lord just wants to encourage, just to let you know that whatever he's spoken to you still stands here. Don't be moved by what you see.
Amen.
Only be moved by the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. But yeah. I'm not gonna be on this joint too long. Amen. But y'all stop celebrating them pagan holidays. Amen. Get that mess out your house. The more ornaments. The more. Matter of fact, let me read that real quick since I'm on it now. Amen. I'm going to read Jeremiah 10 for all y'all Christmas celebrators. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Now, it says, hear the word of the Lord, which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. And the regular King James, because this is New King James, in the regular King James, it says, learn not the way of the heathens. So it's getting ready to describe a heathenistic practice. All right, it says, learn not the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them, for the custom of the people are futile, for one cuts a tree from the forest. The work of the hands of the workmen with an axe. They decorate it with silver and gold and fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. What did that sound like to you? Hello? Don't that sound like a Christmas tree? It just says you not learn the way of the heathen, right? And then it's describing to you the heathenistic practice that it's talking about. Case closed. Y'all, some of y'all got that tree. That little tree in the attic, boxed up. You might well leave it boxed up, tape it up some more, and go throw it out. Go throw it out. Amen. Go throw that thing in the garbage. Don't give it to nobody. Throw it in your dumpster. Don't give that pagan shrine to nobody. Amen. But anyway, didn't mean to get into all that, but Jasmine got me started.
I'm sorry, Apostle.
That's all right. That's all right. But the people of God need it. Amen. We wonder why we're struggling with all these different spirits and all these different stuff and why we can't get breakthroughs in certain areas because you have a pagan shrine in your house every week and then you light up your whole house all on the outside, got all these lights. Then you got a tremendous light bill that's through the roof. You got to make three separate payments to pay it.
Mm.
Come on now. Save your lights. You better save your lights.
Stop trying to show off. Save your life.
Amen. And then when they can't pay the bill, trust them, that's the devil.
Nah. Well, the devil was the light you had on. That was the devil's. So you were celebrating Christmas. Christ wasn't born in no December. Amen. Shepherds heard that wasn't December.
Sure was it.
Hallelujah. But anyway, hallelujah. I thank God for this word. I thank God for everybody that has graced the line tonight. Thank God for Teton from EX Ministries. God bless you. I thank God for you. Thank God for the work that you all are doing. I thank God for the ones that was in the chat room that listened, for the ones that will listen. Of course, there's going to be a part two to this because, this was not completed. You know, we're going to get it next time. We're going to get into the different types of apostles. Amen. Because there are different types of apostles. Not all apostles are the same. Not all apostles flow the same. And not all apostles, their measure of authority is not the same. Amen. In certain regions. Amen. The measure of authority is not the same in certain regions. Amen. We're going to get into all of that. We're going to support it according to the Bible. Amen. Because y'all know I bust out a scripture in a minute. Amen, to confirm what I'm saying. Because a lot of folks love to say that what you're teaching is heresy, but it's right there. Amen. And if you think this heresy, you should have listened to the show the other day I did. Praise God, you would have really got mad. Amen. Because I talked about husband and wife ministry, the role of the husband and the wife in the ministry.
Amen.
Amen. When it comes to them working together, and I got on the fact that God would never make you the apostle over your husband.
Amen.
Yeah. Folks don't like that. Amen. If you are married and you and your husband are in the ministry, God would never make you the apostle and your husband the pastor, the deacon, or the minister, or the lay member. Well, he just don't want to move forward. Well, you married him. I'm just saying. I mean, the Bible says that if a woman prophesied with her head uncovered, then she shouldn't do it.
Right?
Symbolically stating, because it's still talking, that scripture was talking about in the context of husband and wife.
That's right.
Not necessarily men and women. It's talking about husband and wife, because that word woman means wife, and that word husband, that word man, you look it up in the original Greek, it means husband. So it's talking in the context of husband and wife. Amen. So if you prophesying and you ain't covered by your husband, you shouldn't be prophesying in the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible say, don't it? I mean, I know I ain't the smartest person in the world, but my God, is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So these are things that needs to be addressed. Everybody want to holler about how is this winning souls? But the thing about it is, if you bring the souls into a mess or something that's out of order, then your disorder going to leak off on them, and they're going to have more troubles than what they already got.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? God set stuff in order for a certain reason. I know a lot of women of God are not going to agree with it, you know, because some of them are over their husbands.
Right.
And then some of them say, well, what if the man don't want to step up, or what if the man say he ain't doing it? Well, You can't go beyond you. You can't go ahead of your husband. Your first ministry is to your house.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Before your pastor. The Bible mm-hmm. says, wives, submit to your own husbands. You don't got no business submitting to your pastor before you do your husband. That's a demon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I don't know why God had me to go here, but I feel the Holy Ghost on that. Amen.
That's totally out of order. When you catch that.
Yes, sir.
Totally out of order.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you something. Them be the most Jezebelic witchcraft working churches.
Controlling.
Controlling. I'm telling you. And I'm going to say this too. If your husband is not saved, Lord have mercy, I'm going to get in trouble. You don't need to be trying to run the house of God.
I love you. I love you dearly. I love you. I love women in ministry. I encourage women in ministry. I minister to women in ministry. Amen. The Lord has had me to impart into their lives and everything, even the ones whose husbands ain't saved. Amen. But if you are, you don't need to be running the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And if you're over a particular ministry, amen, you need to pray and seek God about who to put in position so that you can take more time with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't minister to your husband, you cannot minister to the people of God.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, Lord have mercy, I know I'm going to get some emails behind this. But God has just been giving me this. He's been dealing with me with this. You know, God has been speaking this to me. I'm telling you, he's been dealing with me about this for the last week. And this all I've been seeing, either the wives are over the husbands in the ministry or the husband's not saved, period, and the wives doing ministry. The Bible says, let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that in that same scripture that says that you are to submit to your own husband, it says that through your conduct, through your conduct and through your submissiveness to your husband, you can win him over.
Sure could.
You so busy trying to prophesy in the house of God, can't even prophesy to your own husband? You claim you got all that anointing, and you casting out all them devils, you can cast out the one out of your husband. If you can't cast out the devil out of your husband, you don't got no power. You're operating in, Lord have mercy, you're operating in false power. Amen. Because if you can minister to the people outside but can't minister to your house, oh, something is wrong.
Come on now, man of God.
Something is terribly wrong.
Mm.
Amen. And a lot of these women of God need to catch this. And don't get me wrong, you got some fellas, amen, that dominate over their wives. I don't agree with that because you are nothing without your wife. The Bible says that you're supposed to treat your wife as you would your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And also, you're supposed to treat your wife as a co-heir of the gift of grace. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're equal as far as salvation, as being a child of God. But understand this, that our roles and our responsibilities and our duties are different.
Exactly, man of God.
All of us are children of God.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are children of God, but not all of us are ranked the same. Everybody can't be the king. Everybody can't be the prince. Everybody can't be the captain of the army.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, there's an order. There's a chain of command. There's even a chain of command in heaven. You got the Father, you got the Son, you got the Holy Spirit, you got the angels, you got the different ranks of angels, you got archangels, cherubim, seraphims.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
So there's different responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord spoke this to me too one day. He was speaking to me concerning the husbands. And the Lord said to me that the husbands put their wives in danger when they don't step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
You put your wives in danger because it causes your wife to begin to operate outside of her grace because women know how to get stuff done. So what they don't do is whatever you're not doing, they just going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes her to operate outside of her grace, and it's not fair to the wife. It's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair to the wife. You see what I'm saying? And then being that she's not graced to do that, that leaves her open to certain attacks that she shouldn't be open to because the man is not taking his place.
Falling short. That's exactly, I ain't cutting you off, man of God, just to reiterate your point. That's exactly why the families are falling short. Well, it's role reversal. It's an identity crisis. And woman of God, I tell you that, and y'all was when y'all was talking about people that don't know their roles, it's an identity crisis. We got role reversals, and we wonder why our communities are topsy-turvy. We wonder why the nation is topsy-turvy. We wonder why everything is topsy-turvy. The Queen of Sheba, I was just teaching about this last night. I said, do you not know the Queen of Sheba? She had heard about Solomon before she seen him. And then when she said she knew he was wise by the way he had his household arrayed, he had everything in his proper place. That's a man that's got wisdom. When everything, his household, is in its proper place. When the woman of God was talking about, look here, when things get in order, you'll have the glory of God when things get in order. The glory of God will shine round about like he did in Solomon's life when everything is in order. People, your first ministry is always to your household. Why? Hello? I don't understand why they look over where God gave or where Paul gave the stipulations about bishoprics, gave things about deaconship. It's a reason why he put it in there. God don't make mistakes. He don't do things by accident. It's a reason, like you were saying, man of God. It's a reason why that stuff is in there. People get so hot with me. Just like, and I know they get, this is where the, because truth always stirs up the enemy anyway. People get so hot with me when I tell them, look here, they're sitting here trying to run a ministry. Well, if the revelation you got has not freed you, I promise you, baby, it's not going to free me. Huh. If it has not got your house in order, how is it going to get my household in order? How you going to feed me when what you feeding yourself is killing you? Ain't even healing you. It's just not going to work. We need to start getting our households in order. People know somebody wise when they're able to set things in order, like the Queen of Sheba. She came and she said, now I see. I heard, but now I see. And see, when the word of God comes, we hear, and then we apply. But so it goes back, it gives credence to your message when you were talking about apostles not having the authority. It's because they don't hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, first of all, which is the word of God, the will of God, lining up with the will and the word of God. And so they can't apply something they don't know to their own self because they have gotten these spirits of shucking and jiving. It's just about emotion, and it's not spirituality. It's about emotion. They speak in some tongues, and they think, just because you speak in some tongues, that don't make you saved. Amen. Just because you got some letters on your name, that don't make you that thing. It's the substance of it. It wasn't the wood. It was the offering that was on the wood. It wasn't, I thank God for the cross. But it wasn't the wood. It was the offering that was on it. It was the substance of it. So things in the Old Testament where we had types and shadows, we now have the realities. We can, like the man of God was talking about, that grace. And when you're not operating in grace, you operating by the law. You operating by works. And so we all, this causes us all, when he was talking about women in danger, not just the women, the whole household, because a house divided cannot stand. It cannot stand, and it won't stand. And this is why households are tore up, but we call ourselves anointed. Well, greater is he that is in you than he that in the world. Why you ain't tearing his behind up out of your house? Why are you not kicking the bond woman and her child out if you got the authority of God now, if you got the authority? Why is there no deliverance in your own household? I know we all got fights, and I know we got, but look here, if God is the head, the God, the body of the Godhead, and he's the fullness of all things, look here, that anointing will fill that house, and that enemy can't do nothing but go. He can't stay. Come on.
So it gives credence to what the man of God is teaching. A lot of people think that these things are, if you will, the things that you teach are,
because I teach the same things, they think that they are off the wall. Well, look here, Jesus didn't go against the grain. That's why they wanted to kill him all the time, because he went against the grain. Everything that they were standing on, which they really not, if you're not standing on truth, you're not standing on nothing anyway. He tore down their little teepees of tradition. He tore their little coverings down of man-made doctrine. And that's why they wanted to kill him, because they knew inside their hearts, that look here, I've been standing on this all this time, and here comes this man telling me the truth. I got to kill him because this is my life. I can't let him tear down what I done built myself up. Well, truth don't tear that junk down anyway. He's trying to actually save you. We're trying to save people, mold and make people into kingdom citizenship. Instead of being, and that stuff causes you to be alienated from the grace and the promises of God. The biggest enemy that people have, we were reading in Isaiah 43 last month. God told the children of Israel, Isaiah 43:10, he told the children of Israel, you are my
you are my chosen people. He said, I want y'all to know me and believe me. But it goes down to say, he said, you have been my witnesses and that I have declared, showed, and delivered when you didn't have these strange gods before me. He said, when you have these strange gods, you bind my hand. And we were telling him last night, look, your biggest enemy is us. Because we're setting up these strange gods before God and call ourselves servants. And we wonder why God's not moving for it. And then God goes on to say, who can pluck you out of my hand when you stay in it? He said, who will let me work my works in it? Who will let me work? See, we want to do all the work, and therefore we want all the glory. But can we go by the word of God and let God get his, what's rightfully due to him? Can we let God's word be our life, to be our lifeline, our source, our foundation, our guidelines, our counselor? Can we really let God's word do it? See, when we start getting in the areas that people used to and they don't want to leave them, they got to kill us. When we start getting in the areas that look, the rough of their little feathers, they get mad and they got to kill us. So, man of God, you keep preaching the truth because your authority ain't in man's hands no way. You got the backing of God. Elijah went against a whole nation, and you see what God did for him. Rain down fire on Baal's little prophets, and they all was cut asunder.
Amen.
Truth is going to stand. Truth is going to stand. It's going to stand all by itself. And that's why every piercing, the anointing comes out. Every nail they put in your hand, you just get stronger. God gives you more revelation, more power, more anointing, and it's going to continue to be that way. So you just be encouraged, man of God. Everything you see, you got word to back you up. See, you got the revelation and the power and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When that comes in, they can't do nothing with you. So they have to go about slandering. They have to go about running you down. So you continue to be encouraged, man of God. Y'all anointed people. You got the anointing that's better than any money. That's better than any. You got full authority and backing of the heavenly realms and heavenly places. And who cares what they say? We're going to keep preaching this truth because that's what's said. People know what's freeing them. People know what's freeing. People know.
It's a famine in this crazy land. It's not a famine for the word because you can go in any hotel room and find the word of God. What is a famine is it's a famine for the truth is what it is. We got a famine for the truth. And you can see when there's breaches in the walls. First of all, we're the watchmen on the walls. The churches should be the watchmen on the wall. It's not your government. It's not your governor. It's that we are supposed to, the church is supposed to be the watchmen on the wall. But when there are breaches, see, the enemy has infiltrated the kingdom. They're running by the kingdom's world of doing things systematically, governed by doctrines taught by demons, as Paul said. And this is the problem. And we wonder why we're hollering victory, but yet still live defeated lives. Hollering victory, but yet still defeated. The devil is a lie, man of God.
Amen.
You will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, I'm sorry about that, man of God.
That's all right. That's all right. I receive every bit of it. I receive it. Because Lord knows. It's been rough lately, amen. I think I'll be honest with you, flat out honest with you. You know, it's a shame when you've been programmed for so long to believe a certain lie, and when somebody comes with the truth, you shun it. You know, you don't want to, anything outside of your religious box, you don't want to accept it. You know, but apostles go against the grain. People don't realize that. You know, like you were saying earlier, and when I was given all those scriptures about the biblical fruit of apostolic ministry, you know, and I really didn't, I got most of them, you know, but I really didn't get a chance to get all of them, you know. But I'm gonna go deeper into it next time. But people don't realize that, you know, men and women of God who are true apostles and prophets, or even other ministry gifts, you go through a lot too, don't get me wrong, you know, but the grace that that an apostle has, you know, it's a great burden for the kingdom, it really is. And, you know, people don't realize how much suffering that it is and how much you go through, how much you are ostracized, talked about, you know, people don't realize, you know, how much suffering that it takes and how much sacrifice that comes behind it. And then you got these bootleg, jackleg, arrogant apostles who ain't building the kingdom of God. They building their own kingdom. Then you got them coming up against you, hollering about well this and that and the third, and you know they coming against everything that you said. You know, I had somebody, I was teaching earlier, and somebody came in the chat room. I wish I knew who it was. Somebody came in the chat room earlier. Not that I care. You know, but, you know, that was a primary example because somebody came in the chat room earlier and I was saying something about chief apostle. They must be a chief apostle themselves. But I was saying how there's no such thing as a chief apostle,
never
chief
mentioned.
Apostle, king apostle. You have all these kind of a prelate apostle, apostle elect. You got all these different, you know, and they must be a chief apostle because they defended chief apostle. You see what I'm saying? You got all these, you know, jackleg apostles, and then you know, I was talking about, you know, how apostles go into a region and break up ground and, you know, establish and advance the kingdom and stuff like that, you know, and they want to get on and holler about how many churches have you established or under your covering or whatever. You know, I do have a ministry under my covering, but That's not what I'm talking about. We've seen limbs grow out. You see what I'm saying? We've cast out devils. We've laid hands on the sick, and they have recovered. You know, I only been in back in Virginia 5 months. You see what I'm saying? And the ministry hasn't started yet. Everything, the ball will be rolling in September. And the thing about it is, you know, it's not even begin yet, and we're already beginning to see fruit. You see what I'm saying? We're already beginning to see fruit, man. You see what I'm saying? People's lives are being changed already. I mean, people have left darkness. You see what I'm saying? So my thing is this. Since folks are so busy criticizing what other folks are doing, what are you doing? You see what I'm saying? They probably got a church building, but they probably a tyrant over their people. Because first of all, if you're an apostle and all you got is ministers under you sitting up in your church all the time, then you're not producing no fruit and you're not a real apostle. Because apostles sinned. They raise up and they sinned. I don't want the same people looking in my face 5 years from now. The devil is a liar. If the Lord used me to raise you up, I'm going to send you forth. 5 years is more than enough time. Them apostles had three. They became apostles in 3 years. You see what I'm saying? So anything three and over, I encourage that. When you talk about apostleship, it don't take God long to make an apostle. You see what I'm saying? But a real apostle raised up in sin, they equip and impart into the people. They're not trying to build their own kingdom. They're not trying to build their church. Because Jesus said, I will build my church. We're supposed to build the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? He said, I will build my church. The Bible is very specific. We don't want to take it as specific, but it is. So that would irritate me more so, man of God. And I thank God for real men of God, real prophets who have a heart for God, like yourself and so many others that are out here. You know, I really thank God for y'all. Y'all are like a breath of fresh air to me. I'm serious. You all are like a breath of fresh air because you don't realize how many jackleg, bootleg prophets and apostles I have encountered. You know, that's trying to build their own self, build their reputation, build their own ministry. You see what I'm saying? A bunch of tyrant leaders. You know, and then the people of God leave their ministry wounded. Don't nobody got no business leaving your church wounded.
Not
you see what I'm saying? Even if they decide to leave, they shouldn't leave wounded. I have a problem with that. I've seen so many people wounded in ministry because of leaders.
Because of leaders, man, so-called apostles, so-called pastors and leaders, wounded people. You see what I'm saying? Don't you know that blood is on your hands? When you wound God's people? You see what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. You can be firm, give them the truth, but people know love when they feel it, and they know anger and frustration and hatred when they feel it. Yes. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you something. A child knows that their parent loves them even though they whoop them. You know why? Because even after the mama or daddy whoop them, they still running crying to mom and daddy after the same one that just got finished whooping them with their arms out, asking them to pick them up. You see what I'm saying? People know love when they feel it. You see what I'm saying? They know love when they feel it. You know, but anybody leaving your church wounded, and this go for every leader that's listening. Every leader, I don't care who you are, apostle, pastor, prophet, if somebody's been wounded by you, you need to go get that straight. Because that blood is on your hands. We are in the business of saving souls. Yes, I may speak the truth. I may be firm, but I'm firm with leaders and ones that already know better, just don't want to do better. That's who I'm firm with the most. But best believe you will not catch me ministering to a sinner out there in the streets, being all hard. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you something. Jesus did not minister to the unsaved or to the Gentiles. The apostles didn't minister to the Gentiles like they did the Pharisees. You see what I'm saying? You can't do that. You see what I'm saying? But when it comes to the unsaved, yes, you got to be loving, gentle, caring when they first come in. You see what I'm saying? And then, you know, the more they know, the more they grow, then you know, you begin to, you know, equip them and, you know, you got to love a little bit harder. You see what I'm saying? But them them stuck-up modern-day Pharisees who want the praise of men, want the people to bow down and worship them, oh, no, you rebuke them openly. Jesus called them snakes, vipers, everything. I'm going to start calling what Jesus called them. I'm going to start calling them snakes, vipers, all of it. I'm going to call them the same thing Jesus called them, a snake and a viper.
What he said.
And they get mad all day long, but I don't care because when it comes to God's kingdom and when it comes to God's people, oh, I will rebuke you. I sure will. I will do you just like the Apostle Paul did Peter. I will rebuke you openly.
Openly.
If you're misleading God's people, I will rebuke you openly. I sure will. And folks get mad when you call out names. But let me tell you something. If that person has influence and they're influencing people the wrong way, the people of God need to know that that's wrong. You don't follow that. All the Jakeses and all the Longs and all them folks, that ain't God. It's what they preach is an inclusionist doctrine on the low. Folks don't want to talk about that. Inclusion and doctrine on the low. Joel Osteen, that's a no. Never talk about sin. Never talk about hell. Never talk about being delivered and set free and healed in your body. Don't even talk about that. Don't follow that. That ain't God. I don't care if you do got the biggest church in America. The biggest church in America with a whole bunch of folks going to hell because they're not being taught the truth. But I think, but you know what? In this hour, God has set these folks free that want to be free. I believe that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. See, we preach the kingdom, we lift up Jesus, he's going to draw. And those who come are the ones that are going to be saved, those who come into the kingdom. Not necessarily to our church, but I'm talking about the kingdom now. Some folks think their church is the kingdom. The devil is a liar. I don't know what devil told you that. I don't know which devil. There's plenty of them. I don't know which devil told you that, but that devil lied to you. Your church ain't the kingdom. Get over yourself. It's a whole lot of folks like that.
Bunch of Sauls.
Sure is. But I thank God that we are a bunch of Davids. Amen. We're a bunch of Davids. Amen. On the backside of the mountain, getting ready to be presented. With the message of the kingdom.
Amen. It's sad, man of God. It really hurts me. It really do. It really hurts me to see God's people like that, you know. It's a shame, you know. It's a shame. I've seen so many people wounded by church. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. When I was younger, when I first started going to church, you know, deep down inside I was crying out for help. I didn't know how to express it. I was hard. I was a hard-hearted person, you know. Don't you know that instead of ministering love and deliverance to me, them folks gonna tell me I need to praise God. I looked at them. I wanted to be like, man, if I slap you, you gonna get out of my face. Come on, praise God. I'm like, man, y'all don't know how to minister deliverance to me. Y'all can't help me. And then when I leave the church, they don't call me. They don't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I decide I don't want to come back now, oh, we missed you. No, you didn't. Don't lie.
No.
Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Don't even tell that lie. That's why I lost respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So the thing is that we're losing people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something. Every time you lost a soul, you have failed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the early church didn't lose nobody.
Not a one.
Now, you had a couple of ones that walked with the apostles that strayed away, but for the most part, they stayed.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one wounded soul, you are accountable for that one wounded soul.
Mm-hmm.
It is up to you to right that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, even if you go right that wrong, it's still going to take somebody else to come in and help heal that wound that you caused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sad. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad. You know, nobody should leave your church wounded. Somebody leave your church wounded, that ain't God. And my heart goes out for folks. My heart goes out to the ones that the church has failed. You see what I'm saying? I'm gonna tell you something. I'm going to be personally honest with you. If I would have went by everything that I experienced in church, I would have lost my mind right now. Had not been with God. If I did not hold on to God with everything that I had, even when folks were trying to make me feel like I was a devil, trying to make me feel like I wasn't doing nothing right in the ministry now, you see what I'm saying? Folks try to make, and I knew my heart towards God and the ones that was around me. You see what I'm saying? Trying to make me feel like I was a devil, I was rebellious, because I wouldn't bow down to something that wasn't of God. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because I would not bow down to something that wasn't of God, that was man instituted. You see what I'm saying? A false revelation from a demon.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But think about it. When people move in false anointing and false power and demonstrations happen, they get fooled by that.
Exactly.
And I'm going to tell you something. When preachers put more emphasis on power than character, they false.
Mm-hmm.
Because with that anointing you have, you got to have some character. If not, then that will easily turn into divination. And the Bible says that the Antichrist spirit can work miracles, signs, and lying wonders. That's what the Bible says. The Bible also says that in the last times that, you know, many people will rise up and say, I am Christ. Hello, or I. The word Christ means anointed. So people are going to run around saying, I'm anointed, I'm anointed, I'm anointed. And the false prophets are going to show signs and wonders, even if it were possible to deceive the very elect. So that means that the elect not going to be fooled. But the whole purpose of this demonstration of false power and false anointing is to deceive the elect.
Mm-hmm.
People get fooled by gifts. That's why I tell folks, you know, everybody that says that they're an apostle or a prophet ain't. You know, just because you can call my bank account number out don't mean that you're real. It just means that you got a gift. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit, not their gift.
Mm-hmm.
My Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. That's the fruit he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But anyway, Lord have mercy. Got me worked up, but it's all good. Amen. God is good. Amen. I'm still trying to find out who that caller from Georgia is. Amen. Every once in a while, I guess somebody from Georgia who comes on the line. Praise God, but they They don't say that.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I had you on mute, and I had to find my mute button.
Okay. Who am I speaking with?
I'm Claire. My husband was the one that wanted to hear you, and he called everybody and tried to find out when you was coming on. Then when you said caller from Georgia, he took off and ran.
Oh, wow. Now I was just trying to acknowledge everybody's presence. That's all. That's all. But it's all good, though. It's all good.
He wanted to hear you.
Okay.
And he did.
I thank God. Is he a friend on my Facebook?
No. No. We are friends of Pastor Jackie.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, yeah, I forgot that. I'm sorry, forgive me. I have so many people that come on here. I be trying to remember all of them. I really do. But thank God for you. I'm glad you tuned in. I'm glad your husband and yourself tuned in, and I pray that he was edified, and pray that some areas of understanding was opened up to you all as well.
Amen.
And I just pray that you increase in God's love, his favor over your lives. Just pray the blessing of the Lord over the both of you all, and that you all will continue to go forth and do everything that he's called you all to do. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, y'all. Love y'all. I'm going to get off this phone. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for everything that you have done, said. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for all the words that went forth. I ask, Father, that you would seal them, Father, in the blood of your Son, Jesus, every word that went forth. I thank you for the teaching that went forth. I pray that the ones that was listening and the ones that will listen, I pray that they will be enlightened, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I just ask, Father, that you would just have your way in their lives, Father. Let your kingdom be demonstrated in them, through them, in Jesus' name. Let them be thermostats and not thermometers, Father. Let them conform the culture around them and not be conformed by the culture around them, in Jesus' name, Father. Let your people begin to go forth in kingdom demonstration and power, in Jesus' name. And Father, let them continue to grow in your love and your grace, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray increase in every area of life, finances, physical health, their relationship with you, Father. I just speak increase in Jesus' name over the lives of your people. Father, let us all come together as one. Father, I bind up that denominational division, divisive spirit in Jesus' name. I cancel it right now in Jesus' name. Father, I decree and declare that your people shall come together as one under one umbrella, and that's the umbrella of your kingdom. And I thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So God bless you all. I love y'all so much. I love y'all dearly. And just remember just to be encouraged. Prophet Marcus, I thank you, man of God. I thank you so much for coming on. Your words are always on time. Amen. Amen.
We appreciate you, man of God. We appreciate you for the kingdom work, the seeds that you sow, the time that you take, that your life is truly governed by that. It's truly governed by the Holy Ghost, man of God. And I just want to encourage you and cheering you on, man of God. And we thank God for you. And who can defy the armies of the living God?
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. All right, y'all. Until next time, just remember that I love you. Jesus loves you more. And let's just make the kingdom our top priority. Amen. See y'all next time. God bless you.